you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How come some people get cat and some people get chrysanthemum?
Say that again?
Some people get cat. I mean, if you're in a spelling bee, they say, how do you spell cat? C-A-T.
Yeah.
And, okay, the next, who wants to be next? Deuce Davis said, I want to be next. And the teacher said, okay, how do you spell chrysanthemum?
Now, that one is beyond me. I have no idea.
What? He sure is cool, isn't he?
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
And now,
let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is an all-new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday, and it's the 1st of March. How about that? 1st of March.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's almost Christmas.
Stop it.
I don't know if you were watching TV last night. We have a huge announcement to make that was made last night that a certain member of our cast is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Ralph.
Yes.
Which means that they've given up on Stars, A, and B, they've given up on Stars.
Yeah.
So we have to talk about that later today.
Okay.
When they cover weather on the news, in Southern California especially, It's usually comical because, you know, there are other places. Most of the country is under snow.
Buried.
It's been just a brutal winter. So when it gets to be a little cold in Southern California, especially, like in Northern California, they're used to it. They got the wind, no big deal. So the weathercasters don't go overboard. But this dude was, I don't know what channel he was doing it for. I saw it on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Yeah, I think he was in Palmdale. And he was talking about that it was cold. Now, you can't just say that it's cold. You have to embellish so that people know what you're talking about.
Well, how cold is it?
Nobody knows what it feels like when it's cold. So you have to describe it to them. So this is how he begins and gets into it.
When it gets this cold, you have a lot of time to think about things. And we were thinking about how the word chili, it has two entirely different meanings. There's chili as in hot and spicy, a Chili's restaurant across the way.
Okay, so now he's standing in front of a Chili's restaurant. This is happening.
Come on.
And he's telling you that that's an alternate meaning for the word chili.
Here's what I want to know. Why is it when it's cold you have more time to think?
Did he
How
say that?
How does that work?
I don't
yeah.
know. I didn't even hear that part.
Yeah, right at the beginning. It's like, when it's cold, you have time to think.
I have to hear that again.
When it gets this cold, you have a lot of time to think about things. And we were thinking about how the word chili, it has two entirely different meanings. There's chili as in hot and spicy, a Chili's restaurant across the way.
That's funny.
And I have more time in a day now?
No,
I did not know that.
The answer is that they send these poor bastard reporters out to do a story on the weather.
To do non-stories.
And there's no story.
Yeah.
So he's sitting there trying to figure it out.
I was thinking maybe he was trying to say that because the cold is debilitating, you just have time to sit around the house. But it ain't.
No.
We're not talking about
no.
Fargo.
No. We're talking about, you know, probably 50s. Which for anyone else is a joke.
Yeah,
for us, it seems to just be crippling. So you have a lot of time to think, A. B, chili can mean two things. One is the restaurant behind me. They found a Chili's to do the report in front of. So clearly they had all day.
There's also chili as in it's cold. Put on a jacket. It's chilly outside. You don't want to catch a cold. But
all right. So then there's that. You're cold, so maybe you should put on a jacket. Is there coverage like this for weather in any other city in the country?
Oh, my God, no.
I sure hope not.
We're on in, you know, several stations across the country. You know, we're on in, Iowa City.
Mm-hmm.
We're on in a bunch of different places. And they must listen to this and just go, what's happening? It's been zero for 3 months.
We're such babies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm standing in front of a Chili's, and that's an alternate word for chili. Now,
and by the way, put on a coat.
And then this, but those are the two meanings for the word. Now, this is where he transitions into, but it's not chili. Okay. Now, at that point, I go, why did we spend the last 15 minutes learning about the restaurant and put on a jacket?
If
it isn't chili.
Tonight here in Palmdale, the weather is neither chili nor chili. It's frozen.
It's frozen.
Oh, all right. Well,
so it's neither chili nor chili. It's frozen.
Are there more than one
He didn't say if there's more than one for Frozen. I guess it could be you don't move, I guess. But he didn't explain that in detail. He just explained two meanings for the word that it's not.
Okay.
It isn't. So he started his whole report with, let's see, let's give some meanings for chili, which it isn't. And here's my real question. We have bosses here, and we get taken into their office all the time. And they make us, like, listen to tapes and go, what were you doing here? Why did you say this?
Right.
Why didn't you do this? And they second-guess everything we do. How does this guy not get called in? And I don't know that he didn't, but these kind of reports get done every single day on the local TV news.
I don't think they do.
How's that possible?
Because
how did somebody not pull him in and go, why are you standing in front of a Chili's restaurant?
Because they know they're sending him out for BS stories.
I know, but it's not Chili.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, really, that's the bottom line. So it's neither Chili nor Chili. It's Frozen. So it's a little colder than that. I don't know, man. If we were doing that kind of work, and we do a lot, let's be honest, but we get called into the office.
Rightfully so.
And they say, really, this is bad. No one seems to do that for news reporters.
No, I
agree. They do this all the time, and they exaggerate so much about how bad the weather is. I'm not sure how anyone's still alive, as cold as it is here. You know, and it's the only day that it wasn't 70 during the day and 55 during the night. So, anyway, that's...
Yay, us.
We're pussies. That's the point. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we? Omar is going to apologize to us today.
He is.
Yeah, he's... Omar, of course, is our production guy. He's the guy that does, the intros to our games and stuff like that. He's also the guy that hated Glee, and we ended up apologizing to him for that. But, his intro for Ask an Ex-Hacker yesterday, we couldn't get through it.
No, we didn't play.
I mean, we played about half of it.
Yeah.
And that's really... And that... I shouldn't have played that. I mean, you know... If I would have played anymore, we would have got called in the office.
Yeah.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you with a bunch of great new videos that we want you to check out.
All right.
We have a fantastic instant request that I believe you will love. We have to talk to Psycho Mike about being on Dancing with the Mother Effing Stars. How does that happen?
I was watching a movie and I got a text from a girlfriend who said, I hate this show, but now I'm going to have to watch it.
That's my thing is I don't watch Dancing with the Stars. I didn't watch Dancing with the Stars when Adam Carolla was on, who was a friend of mine.
Yeah.
So I'm not watching
now. It's perfect for me.
Psycho Mike is going to be on it. So we need to talk to him if we can get him in studio. I don't know if we have any connections.
Pretty big name.
But how far down on the list did they go? I mean, you know, they probably sat down and said, let's list all the stars we want.
Right.
Put out feeler letters or whatever. And
then they got no, 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 no.
And then they said, okay, we've gone through the first 1,000. Okay. Now we need a second 1,000. And then those didn't come through. And then finally one guy went, well, I feel stupid saying this, but there's a guy.
I'm just going to throw this out there.
I'm just going to say, Psycho Mike, he hosts Love Line, and, you know, and it's a nationwide radio show, and everyone else said, and then later they went, who's that guy again? So we're going to talk to him about that. Charlie Sheen is a warlock. We got to tell you about that.
Yes.
He just... Ralph was right yesterday when he said it's impossible to keep up with Charlie Sheen. I mean, we're usually, you know, usually what'll happen is a celebrity like Christian Bale. That tape came out. They played it everywhere. He did one apology and it just kind of went away. But this is just new stuff every day, every day. And it's not like it was Mel Gibson and it's pre-recorded stuff that she's parsing out over a certain amount of time. He's doing it live.
Yeah.
And TMZ was at his house live for, I don't know, 30 minutes yesterday. And we're going to talk to Mike from TMZ, who was there, and ask him about that.
That was amazing.
And it's unbelievable. It's just the gift that keeps giving. Anna Faris will be on the program today for Take Me Home tonight.
Okay.
Michael Cudlitz will be in studio, star of the TV show Southland, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, let's see, Insta Request, already mentioned that, Roundup. All right, well, we got that.
Is that it?
Well, there's other stuff, but it doesn't sound funny.
Okay.
You're just going to have to trust me on it.
All right.
So we'll take a break and we will come back. We'll kick things off with the Showbiz Beat. That is next on the Kevin and Bean. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph has joined us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got some passes to give away to the world premiere
of a movie that I've been looking forward to since July of last year at the San Diego Comic-Con when I saw clips from Battle L.A. The world is being invaded by aliens, and the Marines need to kill them.
And can't.
And can't, because they're aliens.
They are aliens.
They got some big-ass ships that fly around, and they're big creatures that are not easy to kill.
They have better weapons than us. What do you do?
You get Aaron Eckhart, Michelle Rodriguez, and Michelle Moynihan.
Oh.
And you kick their asses. This one is about a platoon of Marines that takes place here in Los Angeles, and they have to drive back the invading forces. I can't wait to see it. The world premiere is at the Regency Village Theater on Tuesday, March the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere, March the 11th. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller that gets through gets a pair of passes to attend Battle L.A. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brings it home.
Sure does.
It's called Gravitas, mister.
Made me scared.
Look it up. Professional. I got it. We got it. I know you guys are going to talk about it later today, but the new cast for Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that... no, go ahead. We have time.
I'm with you.
Kirstie Alley. Kirstie Alley from Cheers.
Okay.
Hope they have a specially reinforced dance floor this year. Kirstie's looking...
Is she fat, fat Kirstie, or is she just fat Kirstie?
She's not. She's fat.
Just not fat, fat anymore?
Oh, she's borderline fat, fat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because wasn't she fat, fat, and then did some commercials for Slim Fast?
Yeah, she became a spokesperson for one of those diet weight loss programs, and then lost a bunch of weight. She got in a bikini on Oprah or something like that.
Mm.
And then... yeah, got off that program, apparently.
Quickly.
And is now on the Haagen-Dazs program, which is...
less effective.
Not as effective, yeah. Changing her name, apparently, from Kirstie Alley to Kirstie Highway.
See, because an alley is a...
Alley is a small throughway as opposed to a highway, which is larger. Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid.
Hi.
Sugar Ray Leonard, former professional boxer. Chris Jericho, professional wrestler. Hines Ward, a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So far, I have Kirstie Alley losing that by a landslide, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Kendra Wilkinson, former Playboy playmate, reality star, Hef's girlfriend.
Bad laugh.
Speaking of bad laughs, talk show host Wendy Williams.
Oh, no.
She's just barely a talk show host. She's got a show on during the day that is on like 8 cities. And I think it's like a 15-minute show. I'm not sure. I think she...
Is this as long as she can go?
She comes on and reads weather or something. I'm not sure exactly. It's barely a TV show. Swimsuit model Petra Nemkova. Now, the first star of Dancing with the Stars has just showed up, by the way. Petra Nemkova.
Supermodel.
Last night, my wife's watching The Bachelor. She's going, who's that? Who's that? I had to tell her who everybody was until they mentioned Petra Nemkova, who wasn't on the stage last night. Had better things to do than show up for the big live press conference. Yeah.
You know why? It doesn't have to.
Romeo, formerly known as Lil Romeo, formerly known as, who's that? Oh, that's the son of that guy, Master P. Oh, okay. Legendary Disney star Chelsea Kane.
Huh? Chelsea Kane.
And then some guy named Mike Catherwood.
Yeah, that's...
They didn't even throw in the Psycho last night, by the way. A lot of people know him as Psycho Mike. I guess, why bother? He's just Mike Catherwood.
Did
just
they call him Lover
out.
Boy?
Just put him out in a tie.
Did they use the word Lover Boy?
Yeah, no, I got a bunch of tweets saying that I was Loveline's Lover Boy.
I was like, whoa, that's sweet. That's not sweet.
Boy's Mike Reno pissed.
You got to start rocking a headband, man, if you're going to try and pull that off.
Was there some sort of contractual obligation, Mike? Did you not have a choice? Were you obligated? You had to do the show because... they've got your mom in a basement with a bag on her head holding an issue of today's newspaper.
I don't think he likes his mom enough that would have made any difference.
Yeah, I know. I just knew when they asked, I knew it was party time, and that's what I'm here to do.
Just remember, Mike, sometimes in a career you're as defined by what you say no to as what you say yes to. That's all I'm saying, man. Best of luck. I hope you win the mirror ball.
Winning.
Thanks.
Whatever that means.
Boom. Do you actually get a mirror ball? That's
the
part
trophy,
of
it. Apparently.
Dude, the coveted mirror ball. I've been able to avoid the show no matter who's on it, including Adam Carolla, who I love.
Yeah.
So, my wife said, you're going to have to watch now. I was like, nope.
This is the most star-studded of all the seasons, apparently.
It is, that's true.
So, congratulations to everyone involved. It's going to be Dance-tastic. Athletic. Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Meanwhile, in reality show news, NBC is announcing their competitor for American Idol called The Voice. Apparently, CeeLo Green and Adam Levine of Maroon 5 are going to be judges.
Interesting.
The third judge has yet to be announced. It debuts on April the 26th on NBC.
Is CeeLo going to do it dressed as a Muppet?
Oh, I hope so. It'd be awesome.
You see him at the Grammys? Yeah, that was the
very
best.
Impressive outfit he was wearing. Carson Daly will be hosting The Voice.
What's he doing these days? He's been out of work?
Apparently nobody in this building says no to anything anymore. Apparently it's just all hell's breaking loose. And the rumor continues, even though John Stamos has said it's not true, that he will be replacing Charlie Sheen in 2.5 Men. E! Online is reporting that CBS president Les Moonves has had a conversation with John about stepping in and playing a new role on the show and taking over as the lovable ladies' man opposite John Cryer and that kid. Here's the...
Isn't that kid... Doesn't he have to be like mid-20s by now?
Yeah, he's... Now it's like 2 3/4.
Right,
man, really.
It has to be.
One upside is, if John Stamos takes over on the show, that audiences will actually believe that women want to sleep with that character, as opposed to Charlie Sheen with his fake teeth and his meth habit. But.
Hey, he can buy them.
He can buy women. That's
buy
true,
women.
Yes. They never brought that up on the episodes. Where are you going, Uncle Charlie? Oh, I'm taking this suitcase of cocaine and this stack of hundreds to the nearest strip club to find me a girlfriend. More Charlie Sheen news. Again, you just couldn't get away from him yesterday.
It's impossible to keep up.
He does
a lot.
A lot of interviews in the course of a day. TMZ.com had him live yesterday.
20 minutes, it seemed like.
He was on the Today Show for the first half of their interview, which continues later on this morning. Tonight, ABC is going to have him on 2020. And in the midst of all this, his PR agent, his public relations man, Stan Rosenfeld, a legendary publicist for a lot of stars in show business, finally said, you know what? I just remembered I have legs.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm no longer working with Charlie as his publicist.
His PR guy quit.
Can you imagine being his publicist?
No.
No.
Because he would show up on shows and you'd go, what? I don't know anything about this.
What? He's on the phone constantly. He's where now? He's on top of a soapbox at Hollywood and Vine? Speaking through a bullhorn? Yeah. He has said bye-bye. But Charlie may not be without a publicist for long.
Yeah.
Because apparently Spencer Pratt has announced.
All right!
He would like to be Charlie's new publicist and will work for free just to be on Team Winning.
Winning.
What is going on?
Winning.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait.
That is a match made in heaven right there.
Warner Brothers has announced they're going to pay off the crew of 2.5 Men, by the way, for the final 4 episodes of the season, which I think is pretty cool.
That is cool. That's a lot of money they don't have to pay.
Right. Tab for 200 people in the show. This is, you know, the crew, the people who do lighting and sound and that kind of stuff. Comes to about $2 million and change.
Wow.
But that's one Charlie Sheen check.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool that they're stepping up and paying the guys off, because it's really not their fault, obviously, that they won't be shooting the final episodes this season.
Boy, you listen to Charlie. It's not his either.
No, apparently
not. Not his fault.
For these guys standing around doing
nothing. That's not my fault.
And we didn't talk about this yesterday, although I don't know how we missed it. Gwyneth Paltrow sang on the Oscars over the weekend. Because Saturday.
I fell asleep when I saw her.
You didn't see her singing?
I mean, I saw her, but I'm so not interested.
Oh, she's so gifted. Oh, I hope she put an album on Goop. Apparently, she does have some fans in the industry. Kelly Clarkson sent out a tweet yesterday saying that she's begging Gwyneth Paltrow to make an album. Well, I'm going to put out a tweet begging her not to, and we'll see who carries more weight.
Look, she can sing. All right. So
she
what?
She can carry a tune, fine.
Yeah, so what?
But she did not do a good job on the Oscars. I don't know whether she was super nervous or what was going on, but...
It's a country song.
Yeah, it was
I can't
barely
tell.
Possible.
She just got through it. She would not go on to Hollywood Week. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And didn't she look weird the way she kind of closed her eyes? And it was just awkward.
She was struggling.
The whole thing.
She was a little pitchy dog.
Yeah.
We're looking for the whole package. Maybe come back next year. That's what I would have said.
Try again.
Get back in line. But Kelly Clarkson believes she has an honest and captivating voice.
I'll tell you who acquitted himself very well was Zachary Levi, the star of NBC's Chuck.
I didn't know he sang.
Got on stage opposite Mandy Moore and just blew the doors off the joint. I didn't see that Tangled, but I had friends who saw it, who have kids, and they said it was real good, and he was real good in it.
He was the voice of Tangled
and also sang in that motion picture, and that's where that song came from.
I didn't know that's who it was when I watched it, but he was great.
Yeah.
It was a shocker. I was like, that's dude from Chuck. What's happening right now?
He is multi-talented, but not on Dancing with the Stars.
No, he's not.
He doesn't have those kind of talents. Do you dance much, Mike? Are you a big dancer?
No, I'm horrible, and I've never really danced at all except for comedy. So not a star. Don't dance.
Not a dancer.
Yeah, so I mean, might not be the best fit, but hey, life's a garden. Dig it.
Oh,
that's right.
Hard to argue.
Your manager agent is earning their money. That's all I got to tell you.
His PR guy just quit right now.
Just backed up.
Life's a garden. Oh, I'm out.
I'm gonna work for Charlie Sheen.
Charlie, you need somebody.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Roger Daltrey of the legendary rock band The Who is 67 years old today. Hope they do the Super Bowl again soon. They were good last time.
They were bad beyond words.
Alan Thicke.
Yeah.
Is 64 years old. He, of course, was the dad on Growing Pains. Javier Bardem celebrates his 42nd birthday. Mark Paul Gosselaar, my buddy from NYPD Blue, is 37 years old today. Jensen Ackles from Supernatural is 33. Reggie Bush. Local hero here in Southern California, played for SC for many seasons and went on to play for the New Orleans Saints. He is 26 years old. Kesha celebrates her 24th birthday.
How do you think she celebrates?
Oh, she's getting up this morning, brushing her teeth, Jack Daniels. Woo! She's a loose cannon. Actor-director Ron Howard is 57. Did you happen to catch the Jimmy Kimmel's After Oscar show?
I saw parts of it. I saw the videos. I had to fast forward through it because it was late.
You didn't see the Tom Hanks Toddlers and Tiara episode where Tom Hanks is trying to get his baby girl to win the sexy baby pageant in Nevada?
Well, I did not see that.
Spoiler alert. They do this whole thing where it's like Tom trying to train this girl how to be sexy on stage. She's reportedly his daughter, not his real daughter. And at the end, she gets beaten and he's furious by a girl named Rhonda Howard. And Ron Howard steps out of
that's
the wings.
So
it's his
funny.
Kid. And he's like, eat my dust, Hanks. Ooh, Houston, Hanks has a problem. Because he was all upset and stuff. It was very funny. And Justin Bieber celebrates his 17th birthday today. So, girls, have at him. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. We're all trying to come to terms with Psycho Mike being on Dancing with the Stars. What the hell is happening? It doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have the Internet Roundup coming for you. Brand new videos that we want to introduce you to. We think you'll find very funny. We have a very funny instant request. We have Anna Faris a little bit later on today. We have Michael Cudlitz, who's the star of Southland, coming up. So that's all on the way. First, we need to talk to Omar, who is our production guy.
Good morning.
He's the guy that used to do the Glee cap, and he hated.
Yeah.
He hated.
Yeah, I hate Glee.
And then after,
and I was right.
Well, no, you weren't. But it came around to your way of seeing things.
I was right the whole entire time. Every week I would come in and prove how bad it was.
Right, but
and I was right.
It was pretty good. But then after the Super Bowl, we had to apologize to him because that one was just they did Thriller and then they were chanting Brains and then the other team fumbled. It was so bad. So we apologize. You know what we did? We stood up. We were men, and we said we were wrong. You were right.
You were. Yeah.
Okay.
You did.
It's time for that to happen in reverse now.
What?
As Omar, who has to do all of our intros, and I will admit it's. You know, sometimes we just go, hey, do an intro. Good luck with that. And
we
go on our way. He's stuck with having to come up with a theme.
Yeah,
for sure. So, like when we did Ask a Cop, for example, he did this.
Ask a cop, don't get shot. Yell and put your hands up. They fight day and night. See crime and they bite.
Well, that's not bad.
Right. It's funny.
That's not bad.
Right. It's funny.
Yeah,
and,
it's funny.
For some reason, I mean, you know, when we do, like, you know, intros for games and, like, segments, you know, I could get any generic music and do a melody. But for some reason, when we do the Ask a segments, we decided to do parody songs. I don't know how that came about. We just decided to do it.
We said we like it when Weird Al does that. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I was like, all right, cool. So I came up with pretty good ideas for previous Ask Us. And usually what happens in my head is if I struggle to think of a song right off the bat, I don't come up with anything. So okay. I have to let it marinate.
Okay.
You know, that's how my creative juices
flow. Like in
flow.
The back of your brain. Sure. Yeah, it's just working while you're not even thinking about it.
So when he said, Omar, come up with an intro for Ask an Ex-Hacker, that doesn't exactly flow, which we did yesterday.
Exactly. So I was going to do No Doubt's Ex-Girlfriend, and I couldn't find a karaoke bed for it.
Important?
Right.
Okay.
I needed
you
got
to be able to find the music.
So all of a sudden, I was just like humming along. I heard this song on the radio, and I started kind of humming some lyrics, and I thought this would be appropriate. Train, Hey Soul Sister.
And how are you going to
sing? No popular song. You know, I was going to do, Hey Ex-Hacker. You know, that was going on in my head. Okay. And, you know, I had all these lyrics planned out.
Good.
Right?
Now, at one point, did you say, no, that's a bad idea?
No. I was going to
come up with another song.
I was going to put it down on wax and it was going to be gold.
Yeah.
I like that confidence.
Okay.
I like that.
And then the other thing that happened yesterday is I came in and I had all these Oscar production. I had Afro to do.
You did a lot.
I had a bunch of stuff to do.
Some days he has more stuff to do than others.
Absolutely. Right. So I put together, I wrote the lyrics and produced a song.
You wrote the lyrics.
Right.
Happy with them?
I was happy with the lyrics.
Okay.
Because the lyrics actually, like, you know, as Mike knows, when we when he does parody songs, you try to kind of like incorporate the same
rhymes.
The same rhymes, exactly.
Scheme or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I did that, and it fit.
You didn't have to tell me.
And yeah, you know what I'm saying? When you work with Mudbutt Mafia, you know, that's how you work it.
Right.
So I did it and accomplished it. I was very happy with the lyrics.
Right.
But the execution part of it.
Well, that guy sings really high.
Somebody has his nuts in a vice to get that high.
But you can hear that when you hear the original song.
Ye would think.
No, you can't. Yeah. I'm saying you can hear that. When you listen to that and you go, hey, that's way high for a guy.
Yeah. Well, then, okay, so I'm in the studio, I have the lyrics down, and I'm like, I can't really get that high. So I'm thinking, okay, I'll do some fat falsetto thing, and it'll be funny.
It'll be
saying? It'll be super funny.
We do worship bad.
And sometimes it turns around to be good.
If it's bad enough, then we laugh.
So most of the time, like when I do Ask an Interpreter, you know.
Ask a Dream Interpreter was just bizarre beyond
but
words.
But it was gold.
Yes.
And I knew that going in.
It was gold, but only because it was so awful. We have this clock. We have the, you know, noon to 10 after is great.
Yeah.
10 after to 20 till is average.
Right.
20 till to 10 till is bad.
Yeah.
And then 10 till to the top of the hour is bad enough that it's entertaining and funny.
Absolutely.
And you nailed that last 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Pretty accurately for the last several years.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, that's what I strive for on the Kevin and Bean show.
Sure.
Yeah. Barely passable material.
Right.
And this one, after said and done, and, you know, you try to sweeten the audio, and after I recorded it, this is how, you know, dumb I was. I was like, oh, all I got to do is throw some autotune on that or, you know, some reverb on it. And I still was going to be okay. And then after I heard it, I was like, oh, my God, we have a problem.
What do I do? And how much time did you have at that point?
At that point, we had like 5 minutes of the break.
Now, this is the first time this ever happened.
This never happened.
Because Omar is confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I commit.
He came into he crawled into the studio on all fours. At one point, I think he was doing the Marine crawl.
Yeah. And my head was so low. I walk in. I'm like, Ralph, I'm like, I don't know, man. He's like, you got to hear this.
You guys might want to listen to this first. And he's never said that before.
Never.
And all the really crappy songs that he's done.
A part of my soul died yesterday. It was terrible. I mean, you hear something in your head and you want it to turn out a certain way. And I came up with something that is just
great.
No. Just, you know, but I'm like Eminem. Everybody has a bad record. So this is my bad record.
I'm sorry, you're like Eminem?
I'm like Eminem. I'm white, grew up in Detroit with the rap battles.
You didn't?
But, you know, he had a bad record. Everybody kind of dissed it. This is my one Eminem bad record.
And even on the bad record, he had some good songs.
Yeah. And this is all bad. Hey, soul sister.
You put that at the beginning of that, too?
All right.
Sorry. We got beer mugs working in here. And that, you got to factor that in immediately.
He's drunk.
All right, here we go. This is the Omar version. Which he came in and apologized to in advance.
Yeah.
Hey. Now, after that part, how did you go, this isn't going to work?
Because I thought with the sweetening, man, I thought I could sweeten the
There's
audio.
There's not that much auto-tune in the world.
I know.
Hey.
Wow. You're on the net games. Got you in trouble, your computer.
far as you got yesterday.
Now, here's what I like about Omar. Here's what I love about Omar is that he knows it's bad at this point.
Yeah.
Does he cut bait? Does he just say, all right, listen, it's bad, but at least I can make it short?
I'm still going for it.
No. He does like a full-length version of the song.
Yeah.
And why?
Because,
you knew it was bad.
Because I didn't until it was finished, man.
You didn't know at this point?
I'm telling you.
This sounded good to you.
Well, no, you have to lay down all the tracks and then mix it down. And
then,
you know, I thought, you know, add some auto-tune, some reverb.
Turn down the music.
You know that whole trick, you know. But nothing was helping this.
Hey, X-Hacker, we're going to ask her on the radio morning show. Can you hack and get me free porno?
That's funny.
Hey, X-Hacker, we're going to ask her what it is you do.
Kevin Mead audience.
I am deeply sorry
Say
for
it.
That. I am sorry. I'm sorry.
Own it.
I am.
I don't buy it.
I'm sorry. I sucked so bad yesterday. I will never turn in anything that bad. And
don't make
promises
that you can't keep.
That's true. I'll probably bring you another bad song next week.
Oh, this is turning out to be a total waste of time.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for a brand new internet roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
See, and that intro has made it for years. That
yeah,
one's good,
that's
I guess.
Gold.
According to the way we look at it. The first video that we have for you today is a really cool way to pick up chicks. Now, this is a guy who's in a bar, in a pub. And he's basically facing the camera. He says, watch this. I'm going to go pick up a chick. Okay. And there's a table of like three women sitting at it. So he goes over and he asks one of them for their cell phone. He has an emergency. He needs to make a local call. Could I just use your cell phone? And he sits down at the table with them. And then he says,
hi, it's me. Yeah. Yeah. I've got to tell you something. You're not going to like this. No, I don't want to see you anymore. I've just met somebody. That's all. Yeah. No, in a pub. What's the name? So what's your name?
So he asks her name, and then he hangs up the phone, and then he says, I'd like to buy you a drink. And she says, but my drink is full. So he picks it up and downs half of it, and he says, you probably don't want it now. Can I get you a drink?
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't.
It might work.
I doubt it.
It might. He has a nice accent.
It depends. I mean, because.
It depends on how he looks. Is he good looking?
I don't know. He's average, yeah. I mean, but on one hand, he's. He's supposedly breaking up with his girlfriend like that.
Right.
So that can't endear him to women, right? I wouldn't think.
I'm guessing she knows he was just
maybe
kidding.
Maybe. We have the dueling cellist performing Smooth Criminal. Now, this is bizarre. I don't know how guys who play cellos got together and decided we need to do a remake of Michael Jackson's Smooth Criminal. But they did. And it's great. But then in the end, I go, they're still playing cellos, right? But it's great. I don't understand why they did it or what, but it's pretty amazing. I mean,
that is awesome.
It's pretty impressive. But then I think, well, okay, that's as good as it gets on a cello. Why don't you pick up a guitar? Play a real instrument. And then Mike Realm, who's the king of remixes, he put together the dueling cellists with Michael Jackson's music and video.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so he cuts back and forth between, Mike Rome's a freaking genius. So a lot of it is Michael Jackson's dance video, but then there's the guys playing the cello cut in between. It's bizarre. It's weird. One of those things where you go, you look at it, and you go, I wouldn't have put that much time into it, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. The George Mason Green Machine is a marching band, or a band. They're sitting, but I think they're a marching band. I don't know. They're playing a Rage Against the Machine song, which you don't exactly expect. I've often said that marching bands, that is the lowest form of music. I mean, it doesn't sound good. It's amazing that they can all do it together, I guess, but it's...
And they march.
Yeah, I mean, it's just below ringtones to me.
Yeah.
But this is them playing my favorite band of all time, Rage Against the Machine. All
in the category of marching bands, they're pretty good.
In the category of marching bands. Let's say, for example, that somebody came out and they just took every version of Rage Against the Machine away from us. I guess that'd be all right.
You'd do that.
But I wouldn't listen to that instead of Rage Against the Machine ever. Not one time. I don't know if you watched the Oscars on Sunday night. They had a auto-tune segment, which I'm sure baffled a lot of the older people that were there because they didn't understand it. But this is a little bit of the end of the Facebook one, and then he doesn't own a shirt, which is very funny, from the Twilight series.
$1 million is cool. You know what's cool? $1 billion. $1 billion.
And then they show the wolf guy, whatever his name is.
He's too sexy for a shirt. She's so glad he doesn't have a shirt.
So they got that. Why would he
Taylor
own a shirt?
Taylor Lautner without a shirt.
He's too sexy for a shirt.
He looked great.
You have to go to kevinandbean.com, click on Internet Roundup just to see the trumpet national anthem fail. Now, I'm only going to play a little bit of it, but trust me, when you're watching it, it gets worse and worse and worse. The national anthem is the most difficult music to sing, play, whatever. This guy... it might be the worst I've ever heard. And he starts screwing up, and I don't know, it's at a volleyball tournament or something. And by the end, almost all of the players are doubled over in laughter.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just a disaster. All right, so that's the good part. I'm telling
you're saving the rest for us.
And you watch it, and you have to watch to the end because that's when he just falls apart.
I can't
and
wait.
He can't find the right notes, and he can't remember how it goes, and players are holding their stomachs laughing. So great. This is Honey Badger Don't Give a S, and I don't know exactly what this is. It's a video of a honey badger. It's supposedly the meanest animal. I don't know. I've never heard of it. But this guy is doing voiceover that I'm guessing was not the original voiceover for this video.
This is the honey badger. Watch it run in slow motion. Oh, the honey badgers are just crazy. The honey badger has been referred to by the Guinness Book of World Records as the most fearless animal in all of the animal kingdom. It really doesn't give a shit. If it's hungry, it's hungry. Ew, what's that in its mouth? Oh, it's got a cobra? Oh, it runs backwards? Now watch this. Look, a snake's up in the tree. Honey badger don't care. Honey badger don't give a shit. Just takes what it wants.
It does, by the way. And it takes on cobras.
Wow.
And it gets bit by a cobra. And it falls over and falls asleep for a minute. And then wakes back up and keeps eating it.
Oh, my God.
You just watch it and you go, what the hell? I don't want this animal to exist on the same planet as
me. That's impressive.
And finally, Jimmy Kimmel this week in Unnecessary Censorship. There was a bunch of it from the Oscars. There was other showbiz news stories. And this is Jimmy Kimmel this week in Unnecessary Censorship. Which they put beeps and stuff where it doesn't belong. The words don't need it, but they add it.
This week in Unnecessary Censorship.
From the King's Speech, Jeffrey Rush and Colin Firth. Now, when I just saw you, Colin, it only confirmed the bromance rumors.
I will be off camera giving him a hand as the camera leaves.
I want to f*** my mom.
Boy, have we stepped in a fresh pile of shit.
You know, that Donald Trump does enjoy black girls f***ing.
My grandma's here, too.
I just Marky Mark.
So, there you got that. And that is all at kevinandbean.com. Go to Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Brand new Foo Fighters, Rope on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. We are introducing World Tour 2011. Destination number 6 is Metallica in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Well, okay.
All week long, you win tickets to see the Big Four, which is in itself good. And then you get a chance to go to Brazil. Go to krock.com for details. It is 21 minutes until 7 o'clock. I am having Charlie Sheen overload. Yesterday we had a conversation about trying to get Charlie Sheen on the show, and then we said, why? Because really he's given us, you know, through different outlets, about a month's worth of material.
I mean, easily.
We need a break. We need him to slow down so that we can, you know, take a breath and kind of just go through all of the tape that we have. He's been all over the place. And I don't know if you heard, but the latest news in his personal life, our producer Alex did call Stan Rosenfield, who is his publicist. Mm-hmm. He's an all-star publicist. He has a bunch of – he's a heavy hitter kind of guy. She called his office and was told that he's no longer in a working relationship with Charlie Sheen. So he has no – he quit.
Don't blame him.
Couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
So now he doesn't have a publicist. And I don't know if you saw the latest, but this morning on TMZ, Spencer Pratt is now stepping up and saying that he wants to be Charlie Sheen's publicist and he'll do it for free. Now, I don't know that that's going to help the situation any, but I hope it happens because it would be funny.
Of all people.
So we actually do now have I'm being told now we have Charlie Sheen on the line, which is great. We can ask him about the whole publicist thing quitting and Spencer. Charlie?
Hello. Thank you for calling Charlie Sheen Industries. Sick.
Is it Spencer?
Of course. Right. Tad, Spencer Pratt coming at you. Sick kid. Neckbeard technique.
I thought this was just a rumor, just you talking that you wanted to be, Charlie.
Oh, you think a lot of things, but they ain't true. I'm the Pied Piper. That's right. Rock and roll. I'm the fiddler on the roof of life, and that's terracotta.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
I'm just here to represent maybe the greatest actor of all time, the WWE champ, the inventor of the tampon, and maybe the greatest overall dignitary to the country of Kazakhstan, Mr. Charlie Sheen, because I know that it's good to be in business with winners. Victory.
Did I call your house or his? Who's?
I'm at the compound, the Sheen compound here, handling my client.
Is he there?
Of course. He's always around.
Would you mind if we talk to Charlie?
Charlie! Come away from the goddesses. What rap's winning, kid?
Winning. Bang. Bring it.
Charlie?
Yeah.
Spencer Pratt is your publicist.
That's right. He's on team winning. Rhymes with winning. Smells like winning. Sounds like winning.
Team winning. I'm the outfielder. Whoa.
I'm just tired of pretending my life isn't perfect, you know, that I'm not bitching on every level, and I am.
Right.
And I'm bitching, and
right.
I'm perfect.
Now, are you worried at all about your publicist? He was the real deal, and now he's left you.
No, now I've got the real deal. You know what I'm saying? Bang. I've got a new tattoo. It says, Spencer Pratt, winning.
Who? Yeah, bang.
Who did the tattoo?
Spencer did.
Did he? Wow.
That's
bet
right.
Is that as high quality as the one on your stomach, Charlie?
It looks amazing. I didn't even flinch. Did I flinch? No, I smiled, did I?
You're smiling.
Smiling.
You're tense.
Winning.
Rascal.
Smiling.
Victory.
Just more rocket fuel for my hammock. That's right.
What does that mean?
Bang.
We're dealing with oil now.
Winning.
You don't
Victory.
Need rocket fuel for a hammock.
Yeah.
I don't understand
well,
that.
You can't comprehend it because your mind is not as evolved as I am. You can't travel the same longitude and latitude that I do. And I'll tell you something. It may be lonely up here, but I like the view.
Yeah.
Winning.
Down on Earth, he's a Martian big time.
Winning.
What are you talking about,
Warlock
Spencer?
From Mars.
That's right.
Winning.
Witch in a man's body.
Bang.
Warlock. Victory.
Bang.
Winning.
So, Charlie, is this a permanent thing? Have you hired Spencer as your publicist?
Absolutely. He's on team winning now.
It's not just...
He's going to be my voice and my mouthpiece because, you know, I just can't get my message out there. It's hard for me to get contact with the media.
Charlie,
you've been... Spencer's going to help me with that.
You've been on the Today Show. You're on 2020 Tonight. You've been on TMZ. You've been on Radar Online. You've been everywhere.
That's right. Look at all the gigs I've gotten him.
That guy does good work, doesn't he, Spencer Pratt?
No, your publicist just quit
yesterday.
That's what you think. But look, hey, maybe in the real world for the regular people like you, in poor people world.
I'm not normal.
He's not normal. He's big time. He's the best.
That's right.
He's Jimmy Buffett. He's Warren Buffett. He's at the buffet. He don't play. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't have any idea what you're saying.
It. Listen here, Kendall.
You just said he's Jimmy Buffett. What does that mean?
My client is the greatest single force in entertainment that's ever walked the face of the earth, and I'm here to make sure that he gets what he deserves here in this industry, because if it doesn't come out of Hollywood, it doesn't matter. That's right.
Spencer, are you going to be able to handle the fact that he is the top dog and you have to serve him? Is that going to work for you?
I earned my stripes when I invented Splenda, so don't play.
That's right. Winning.
What is
Splenda.
What does that mean, you invented Splenda? You didn't.
I sure did, back in the day when I got done inventing the butt tampon.
Yeah. I don't think that was true either, and I'm so your working relationship so far has been smooth. That's what you're telling me.
Of course, he's a winner. I'm a winner. It's perfect. Am I right, Charlie?
I'm on a drug right now. It's called Spencer Pratt.
Oh,
you can't take it because your mind would melt and your children would die. Bang.
Children dead.
Winning.
Winning victory.
Bang.
Bang.
Warlock.
Radical.
What did you? What did you mean yesterday when you said you're a warlock?
I am a warlock. What? I'm a warlock from Mars.
What does that mean? You're
that means you don't want to mess with me. You don't want to take me on because you will find out the Vatican assassins are everywhere.
You're a Vatican assassin?
Bring it. Yeah, Vatican space cowboy warlock.
All right. What about the news today that CBS might be suing you for hundreds of millions of dollars? What about that?
Bring it. That's what I say, because they're not going to be able to win. I'll take them to court. I'll beat them in court. I'll beat them in the octagon. I'll beat them. I'll beat them with eggs. I will beat them. They will be beaten.
Did you say I'll beat them? I'll beat them with eggs?
Yeah. What do you do before you scramble them, kid? You beat them up.
Beat them up. You can't make an omelet without breaking a few eggs. You know what I'm saying?
Woo!
I'm going to take some eggs, and I'm going to put them out in space where they belong.
What are you talking about?
Milky Way and eggs. Milky Way and eggs.
Outlaw. Winning. Bang.
I don't understand. I don't understand half of the words that are coming out of your mouth.
That's because what, Charlie? He can't comprehend it.
Can't comprehend it. Your mind is not as evolved.
That's true.
I just cured myself. I closed my eyes. Boom. I was cured.
Wow. Nanosecond.
Nano.
Bang.
Bring it. Radical. Winning.
Warlock.
Bang.
Movie theater.
All right, I think we've gotten what we're getting at. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, before I get to the showbiz news, how about some passes to the world premiere of Battle L.A.? Aliens are coming to Los Angeles, man. I don't mean just the ones across the border. I'm talking about from outer space.
And
Aaron
they love
Eckhart
us or they don't love us?
And his Marine platoon has to defend us. Michelle Rodriguez also stars, Ramon Rodriguez, everybody, Alex Rodriguez, all kinds of Rodriguezes are in this movie. You want to check it out? Yeah, I've got tickets to the world premiere that happens at the Regency Village Theater on Tuesday, March the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere on March the 11th if you don't win. But the first caller right now, 1-800-520-1067, will win a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Battle L.A. Well, Charlie Sheen may be dominating the celebrity news these days.
Winning.
But it doesn't keep Christina Aguilera from trying.
Oh, she's half-hearted at best.
She's been a hot mess now since she announced her divorce from her soon-to-be ex-husband. Well, she was arrested early this morning along with her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
In West Hollywood, TMZ announced that she was popped for public intoxication and her boyfriend was arrested for driving under the influence.
So he was driving drunk and she was in the passenger seat?
Yes. Christina was arrested at 2:45 a.m. and booked at the West Hollywood Sheriff's Substation for a misdemeanor charge. Christina was listed when she was booked at 5'2", 100 pounds.
Yeah, right.
Her boyfriend is Matthew Ruttler.
Wait, did you say that they broke up?
What happened?
Did you say they broke up or she just...
No, she's getting a divorce from her husband,
okay.
Jordan Bratman.
Okay.
Her boyfriend, who was driving, her new boyfriend, is a 25-year-old dude named Matthew Ruttler. He was also hauled in. His bail was set for $30,000. No word on what her bail is, but I'm sure she'll get out soon and keep drinking.
Winning.
Go to parties at Charlie's house.
This is the time, celebrities, if you want to go off the reservation, if you want to get busted for drunk driving or whatever... You can't beat Charlie.
No one will notice.
So this is the time you have a little window of opportunity here to lose it, and no one will care.
Just enjoy yourselves.
Right.
You know, I was thinking Charlie said, he's the partying, he's the party king, he's like Sinatra and Errol Flynn and all these legendary guys. The only difference was those guys were cool.
Yeah.
They did their thing, but they didn't have to tell anybody about it or make a big stink or look at me or I'm... So my life's perfect and bitching, and I've got all these cars and women and stuff. They never had to brag about it or make a big deal.
There's a new sheriff in town.
New sheriff's an asshole. I like the old sheriffs better. They just went about their business.
The old sheriffs were the sheriffs, but then everyone else just knew it and said it.
Right.
They didn't have to say it themselves.
They never announced it.
Yeah.
You lose your cool the minute you start saying, I am fill in the blank. And
winning.
That's what cheeses me off about Charlie. He's given hookers and blow a bad name. I never thought that was possible. Speaking as a man who has enjoyed my share of both of those items over the history of my partying lifestyle, he's ruined it for me. Makes me want to be sober. I don't want to be part of his clan.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
You don't want to play like that?
No.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. MTV has announced they've got another award show in the works.
Other than the movie awards and the music video awards?
Right. They have announced the OMAs.
The
OMAs.
Onion?
The Onion Music Awards. No. They said, you know, back when they announced the Video Music Awards, everyone said, oh, what's this upstart cable channel doing launching their award show?
Right.
And there'll be no relevance to them. Well, as you know, the VMAs took off, and now they're a staple of the award scene. We're going to do the same thing with the OMAs. OMAs are going to be so cool, we won't even say what the O in OMA is supposed to mean.
What?
MTV says, we purposely let the name open for personal interpretation.
What?
O can stand from anything, from oh my God to outrageous.
Are you kidding me?
No. They're working hard.
Is it music awards?
I'm guessing it's online music awards. That's what I'm guessing. Downloads and videos and that kind of stuff.
Huh.
So we'll know more as they unroll details rather. But they said this is going to be the next big thing. So here it comes, MTV, OMAs. Book your tickets now.
And you don't know what it is, but book them.
It's going to be so amazing.
All right.
Dancing with the Stars announced their lineup for the season 12. Apparently, a lot of stars were begging to be on Dancing with the Stars this year, but they had to make some tough, tough choices. Kirstie Alley from Cheers. They've been asking her for a long time, apparently. She's finally said yes. Bank account has finally dwindled down. I guess the reruns of Cheers don't pay for what they used to.
Isn't it physically demanding? I mean, can she do it?
You're rehearsing all week long and dancing sometimes three times a show?
She's going to go, I'm tired. I need a rest.
Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid. Tom Bergeron last night said, this is a good show for you to wax off.
Oh! No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He said that? Yeah. He said those words?
Uh-huh.
Wow!
I bet he's never going to get tired of those jokes. The whole wax on, wax off thing.
Do we need to include him on, and would you like to take that back?
I think we do. Sugar Ray Leonard, professional boxer. I think he's got an advantage, right? Footwork. Boxer's got footwork.
Yeah, really athletic. And
Chris Jericho, professional wrestler. Hines Ward, always have to have an NFL player in the mix. Sure. Kendra Wilkinson from the Hef Mansion and her own reality show. Wendy Williams, who's a talk show host.
Sort of.
Petra Nemkova. Oh.
There you go.
Yep.
Romeo, formerly known as Lil Romeo. Masterpiece Kid. Chelsea Kane, who's on Disney. The Disney Channel, she's on some show there. Got me there.
I don't know.
And
that was a hopeful bell. I hope she's hot. I don't know who she is.
She's attractive.
And she's over 18.
All yeah. Right. And as Tom Bergeron announced last night, this gentleman.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Loveline Loverboy.
So dope.
So we went to their website, and they list him as Loveline Loverboy.
Yeah, they do. Loveline's Loverboy.
They're going to go with that.
I love it.
I don't know what to do with this information.
I don't either.
I'm having a short circuit in my mind.
Michael is a mixed-race Hispanic who immersed himself in the L.A. punk and hard rock scene as early as he can remember.
You know what? We may need to go through this press release next.
We may need to
really just delve into it and see what they have to say about our lover boy.
You know why it's as early as he can remember? Because he can't remember a large part of his teenage years. That's why.
I know.
The years 6 through 19 are gone.
Yeah. That was tight.
You weren't touched.
Touched by cocaine
and an angel.
Touched by heroin. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Roger Daltrey is 67 years old. The Who, one of the most influential rock bands of the 60s. Not so much anymore.
Not as much. They're still touring. Not as
even though two of their members are dead.
Less influential now.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Who's left is what they should be called. Not the Who. Alan Thicke, 64 years old. Director, actor Ron Howard is 57. Opie. And how odd is it for a kid to be one of the biggest kid stars on television with Opie on the Andy Griffith Show, then become one of the big teenage stars on television with Happy Days, then go on to be one of the most acclaimed movie directors of all time?
He certainly is the exception.
What a career. 57 years old. Javier Bardem is 42. Mark Paul Gosselaar is 37 years old. Jensen Ackles of Supernatural is 33. NFL running back Reggie Bush is 26 years old. Kesha turns 24 years old today, and Justin Bieber is 17. Maybe there is something to this whole astrology.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and today is a bizarre day for us because last night on The Bachelor, they announced the lineup for Dancing with the Stars. Now, this is a show that I have not watched. I do remember having the creators on before it aired in America, and Bean and I both proclaimed it a failure and told them that even though it was successful elsewhere, it would not be successful here.
I think you said America will never watch this.
That's correct. Yeah. We said that. And then
you proved to be right. Look what a failure. Well, wait a minute.
It did turn out to be the number one show every time it's on.
Yeah.
Other than that, we were right.
That's true.
But it did turn out that more people watch that show than any other show when it's on. So that, we failed there. Here's the announcement from last night during The Bachelor.
Petra Nemkova, Sugar Ray Leonard, Chelsea Kane, Romeo, and Ralph Macchio.
Kendra Bunny Next Door. Kendra Wilkinson.
NFL wide receiver for Pittsburgh, Super Bowl stealer, Hines Ward. She's the queen of all media from The Wendy Williams Show, Wendy
He's a six-time WWE champ, wrestling Superman, Chris Jericho.
She's an Emmy and Golden Globe winner, Hollywood's most outrageous actress, Kirstie Alley.
He's the co-host of Loveline, Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Yes.
Loveline Loverboy.
I think the Burge did that on his own. That sounded off the cuff.
You mean he made that up then?
Yeah.
You didn't.
I'm hoping.
You didn't vote on I Want to Be Called Loverboy?
No, I like. Don't get me wrong. I embrace Loveline Loverboy. I'm gonna ride that one into the sunset. But that feels like that was right from Burge's heart.
Well, it's now on the ABC website.
The B-Dog.
So
the
now
B-Dog, as I call him.
Now it's
now
stuck.
It's official.
First of all, let's take umbrage with Wendy Williams being the queen of all media.
There were a lot of question marks in that introduction.
And Kirstie Alley being Hollywood's most outrageous actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her act since 1988.
Yeah, that's a strange...
Like, cut me this much. I'm more Loveline's lover boy than Kirstie Alley is the most outrageous actress.
Sure.
And Wendy Williams is the queen of all media.
Yeah, your media tag seems to be more appropriate than any other they've given anyone.
How did this begin? Because we didn't find out about this till last night. How did it start for
you? It's a big secret when you find out. You can't tell anybody,
yeah, no,
right?
It's like over-the-top gag order.
Gag orders, yeah.
Excuse me, speaking of gag orders.
What does it mean, over-the-top?
Like, they really let you know. You cannot tell anybody. Even if people find out the cast before the announcement through a third party and it gets back to us that it was you... You're in a whole lot of trouble.
There are penalties to be paid.
Yeah,
and stuff, right?
Oh, like money. Way more penalties, you know,
well, that's why
financially
you tell us.
Than I'm right. prepared to pay, you know? Yeah.
So when did they contact you?
Probably about a month ago.
Did this come from the Kelly Ripa Regis guest shot thing? Is that
I
what
assume
happened?
No one ever directly told me that at ABC, but I assume
that
it had
is
to
ABC
be.
Too, right?
Right, same right. Show. And I mean, it's like, obviously, I'm not very well known overall when it comes to like the masses. So
please,
it
don't
had to
sell
be,
yourself short.
It had to be.
You're probably the biggest star on the episode.
Yeah,
on the show,
clearly.
Yeah,
and by biggest, you mean without a doubt the smallest. I mean, obviously, it must have had something to do with it because I wasn't known to people at ABC until then. So.
Okay, so then you go and you host the Regis show, which was weird in itself.
Yeah,
and so then somebody else gets the idea: hey, we need another cast member for Dancing with the Stars. Let's contact this guy.
Yeah,
okay.
Realistically, I didn't hear it this way. More realistically, they said, here's the people we have for Dancing with the Stars. That one's in, that one's in, that one's in. Okay, we can't fill this spot. That guy canceled, that guy canceled, that girl canceled.
Right.
What are we going to do? We're panicking, we're frantic. Call that guy.
He said, what about the pretty boy from Kelly and Regis?
Yeah.
How about him?
What
we
about
know,
the bone
we
or
know
whatever.
He's shameless and he'll dance.
What about the rest of the week? What about the other guys?
Oh, Bobby Bones and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, what about Bobby Bones?
They probably had too much self-respect.
Did they say no?
I don't know.
All right, so you're presented with Dancing with the Stars. Have you ever watched the show?
Yeah, yeah.
You have.
I certainly watched, you know, for guys like, obviously, Steve-O, you know, my buddy. I watched
on
him.
It.
And then I watched, you know, Adam and Adam Carolla and Jeffrey Ross and those guys. And I mean, I have. I'm not a consistent night in, night out watcher, but I've been exposed to the show. And I originally said no. I mean, I did. Because I was like, and not,
you said no.
Not because I was embarrassed at the idea of getting out there and dancing, but because I'm like, every single year when they announce the cast for Dancing with the Stars, we sit around in this show,
yeah.
We go, who's that guy?
Right.
That dude's not a star. He has no business being on the show called Dancing with the Stars. And I'm like, I don't want to be that guy.
But you know, even those people that we made fun of, we had heard of.
Yeah.
All over the country today, there are other morning shows literally going, who is that
yeah.
guy?
Yeah. No, I know that. And that was by far my biggest concern. Because Kevin, I mean, you guys, Ralph, at least you guys know, I mean, when it comes to getting out there and dancing like a fool and making a fool of myself, that really isn't a big concern.
Right.
That was the most intimidating part, is that I'm going to be far and away the least least well-known person, and I'm going to be beat up because of it and stuff. But
really, really not well-known,
yeah.
though.
And then,
but it's an opportunity if you make people laugh or whatever. It's
right.
a great opportunity to be known.
And you know the people that we know who've done it have actually been so happy that they did it. They really said it was one of their best experiences.
That's a good point, Lisa. And even the most like cynical people, like Adam...
Adam
they
Carolla.
Fell away from it saying,
yeah.
like, you know, honestly, it was actually a pretty fun deal, and it was a good experience. And Steve-O had nothing but universally positive things to say about the experience. So I'm hoping I can have even, you know, a fraction of that and absorb it. And look, they pay you, by the way.
All right. I didn't know that.
That doesn't hurt.
Wait, they pay if you don't win?
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets something.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Awesome.
You get more if you win, but you get something for being on the show.
Not to sound super cheesy, but to be honest, I didn't want to come away from my life knowing that every time I was faced with something that was intimidating or different, that I ran away from it. Because I did that most of my life up to this point.
Right.
And even if I get voted off in the first week, I have the gratification of knowing that something came along my way that was really intimidating, and I, instead of being submissive, I took it on.
Well, when I heard this at first, I thought, well, he better be the first off. I mean, you either have to be the first off or you have to win.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable to be anything in the middle.
Well, I was...
First off, okay, good on you.
You win a lot of money for like second or third, though.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh.
You get like a base fee, and then they bump up the dough
each
big time
you
each time
more?
You go up. But
oh.
if you make it to like the last four, then they're talking like serious dough.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But yeah, Ralph's right. It's a really kind of a larger window in the middle weeks if you get voted off there. But I was hoping going in, because I didn't know the cast either until last night.
Right.
You know, and I'm waiting as people are walking
saying,
in the green.
Oh, please let it be Romeo. Please let me be on the show with Romeo.
As they're walking in, all the cast are walking in, each person that comes in is like more athletic and coordinated than the next.
Well, Hines Ward and what's his name, boxer?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley not walked in yet, as you were thinking?
Well, they had the guys and women separated
at
first. And so I'm thinking to myself, look, they always have like a senior citizen,
right,
or someone who's almost handicapped,
right,
or literally a person without a leg.
Yeah,
you
right.
know that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can count on that. They gotta have one
that
ringer that I'm gonna be better than.
Right.
And when the cast announced, I'm like, oh man, this is definitely like the most together cast when it comes from what you would
Kirstie
initially
Alley?
Think. Yeah, look, Kirstie Alley may be a larger woman. Doesn't mean she can't dance and can't
That's
like
true.
Project through a camera. You know,
Wendy Williams.
Yeah,
she's black. Right?
Yeah, yeah, and
so
she's over,
yeah.
And Wendy Williams is way into like being a showstopper and stuff. And a lot of it isn't about how great you dance, as we saw with Bristol Palin. It's like how much people like you.
Right.
So I'm thinking that I'm screwed, right?
Yeah.
Like Kendra gets the boner vote,
right?
You know, Romeo gets like the hip hop vote.
Sure.
You know, Jericho has millions of WWE fans, and I'm thinking like I don't have a segment of society. I'm just, like I rule.
But all modesty aside, Mike, you are the pretty boy. And that's why they cast you, is for the girls to look at you and vote for you, because you're the pretty boy.
And they always do have a pretty boy.
Don't overlook the fellas.
Omar just said in my headphones he's got the douchebag vote as well.
That's
true.
He does have the douchebag vote.
So you need to nail Kirstie Alley.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
giving you some goals.
I'd rather nail Hines Ward.
You need to nail Hines Ward,
yeah.
And you need to nail Wendy Williams as well. I
sure.
think if you nail
How about
all three
Petra
of those.
Nemkova
yeah.
and Kendra
I don't
Wilkinson.
Want him to dirty them.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like just... Yeah.
You want nothing good to come from this experience for him whatsoever?
So I was on the phone with my wife yesterday, and she said, so now you have to watch the show. And I said, I'm not
no.
going to watch the show. And she said, he's your friend. And
so
I said,
what?
He'll understand that he's my friend, but I didn't watch Adam. I didn't watch the season when Adam was
right.
You know why? Because it's ballroom dancing.
Right.
And I'm not really that crowd.
And Bean will be watching enough for all of us.
Yes.
Trust me.
That's
so
probably true.
I got an argument
probably.
With my wife, and I finally settled on it with her. I said, is it okay if I don't watch but vote? I'll vote for Mike. Just give me the information ahead of time. I'll vote for Mike.
That's the important part, really.
Right. That's the key. That's what really matters.
That's a fair trade-off, I think.
Is that all right with you?
I'm totally down
You won't get
that.
Your feelings hurt if
no,
I don't watch
no,
the show because it's ballroom dancing,
I hear
right?
you, brother.
It's still ballroom dancing?
Yeah. And Latin dance as well.
Oh,
don't overlook
yeah.
that.
Don't forget the rumba.
When does it start? When do
we
see you?
March 21st is the first
When
episode.
Do you start training? When do you start rehearsing?
I already have.
You already have?
Yeah.
But last night they announced you've already been working out and dancing.
When did you
and stuff?
Do your first session?
Saturday of last weekend.
And how was it?
Wow.
It was weird. I mean, because like, look, it wasn't like it was so tiring. I mean, I'm not gonna
You're
lie.
You're in
about
good shape.
I'm in good shape,
yeah.
So I go into it. But just the idea of making things look pretty is so hard for me because I have terrible posture and everything's all herky jerky. So just holding the postures and stuff really felt weird.
By the way, your instinct is also to be funny. not to dance.
Right. To be smooth.
Well, every time you dance, it's to make people laugh. You bring out all your moves.
I don't think the rain bird is going to be going over too well with the judges.
No, it's funny you should say that, Ralph, because they asked me, they said, do you have any dance experience? I said, I have never in my life danced except for comedy.
Right.
So, and I don't think that's going to help me much. And they're like, why not? Go for it. And I'm like, yeah. Really?
Did you show them the pelvic whatever destruction? Whatever?
I better believe it. melted the cameras, buddy.
Yeah. Bloodline lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
March 21st.
Yeah. I have the funniest story about last night real quick is that as soon as they do the announce, they force you to do a bunch of press, and there's a bunch of people waiting there to talk to you about it.
I saw George Pinocchio.
He was there.
My wife makes these vests.
And
hold on a second. Hold on. We need to take a break. We're running really late.
Oh, Kevin, why do you ruin everything with your badness?
I want to hear the story about you last night.
And how I am an inappropriate person.
Yes.
We'll take a break.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood is going to be on Dancing with the Stars, and we're trying to get our heads around that.
Ironically named Dancing with the Stars. That's the way I'm going to refer to it from now on. I'm starting a class action lawsuit. If you'd like to be a piece of it, I've got a lawyer on suing ABC for calling it Dancing with the Stars.
Because?
Now. Well, not just Mike.
Not
look,
a star.
Look at the Wendy Williams and Romeo.
Here's the thing, Ralph. I support you on that because if you're not going to be a star, I understand that. But you should at least be able to dance. And if you can dance, then maybe you cannot be a star.
Right.
I'm neither.
Yeah,
that's true.
I can't dance and I'm not a star.
But they've got a cast of dancers. That's all they do is dance. The people, the professionals that you dance with. So they fulfilled the dancing part of their obligation of their title.
Now, what
I think they have to carry the rest of the weight, which means the stars part.
With the stars.
That's their job.
Yeah. What happened last night? You were telling us a story about last night being at The Bachelor and
interview. They did this live announce during The Bachelor, and it was live. We were watching a feed of The Bachelor, and all of a sudden there's a countdown, and then it breaks to this live show where they're going to announce a cast. And then after that, there's a bunch of press, a big press line that, you know, from everybody from newspapers to entertainment sites, they want to ask you questions, how do you feel, all that. So I get to the
first one.
Yeah, for me it was. Who are you? Like, give me a little background. So I get the very first one, and I go into it thinking what I know of media is what I know from being on the show and being on Loveline. If it's acceptable by the FCC, I find it acceptable.
Wow, that's not the case. That's not the world that you just stepped into last night.
In the world, period.
Right.
Yeah. Certainly not with ABC Disney.
Right. So they have certain PR people that are paid employees of Disney and ABC that walk around with you and lead you to the next one. And I get to the very first one, and he said, "What's your biggest concern?" I was like, "Oh, dude, boners." I'm dead serious. I was like, because
the dancers are hot.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself when we're doing like dances where I press my pelvis up against her. So what I'm going to do, and this is my very first one, so I'm still feeling a little bit awkward and intimidated by the gravity of the situation.
But
so
you're going to finish your thought. You don't think you...
Oh, I have my head down. I'm talking.
Okay.
I don't realize what's going on. I was like, yeah, so I'm going to, and I'm thinking I'm going to be funny here. So I said, I'm going to try to adopt something that I haven't used since I was 16, sneaking into strip clubs with a fake ID, and I'm going to wear two pairs of briefs, and the briefs underneath are going to be smaller so that it really adds compression to the bone and prevents me from, you know, having any embarrassing situations. And I can hear him like chuckling, and I look up, and the PR person from Disney is literally pulling her hair out, like Home Alone, or like they're painting the Scream. She's like,
They didn't coach you ahead of time. Saying,
I honestly don't think they've ever encountered. And like I said, I didn't do that to be like edgy or anything. It's just because I'm so accustomed to this room.
That's how this room rolls.
Yeah, I know I didn't say the F word.
Right.
Or anything, you know.
So you're good.
Offensive, quote unquote.
So did they do take two?
Yeah. No, she brought me some. And I finished that one, and she said, "Funny, but could you not talk about boners?"
She said those words.
Can you avoid talking about boners or answering the bone phone or anything? She goes down the list. And I felt like being in the principal's office when you got caught writing a naughty note and the principal reads it back to you and you're just trying not to laugh.
That's gonna be that poor woman's job now. She probably went home and went, "I'm gonna have to follow that guy around full time."
Yeah.
Here's what ABC said. "Oh, this guy on Regis and Kelly, he's a good-looking guy. Look at him. He did this bodybuilding video. He's very sexy.
He's part Mexican. We can play that up.
We
got a Mexican.
We're fulfilling our quota when it comes to hiring minorities.
Right.
He's going to be awesome. He's probably just stupid and pretty, and we're not. It'll be great. We'll just put him on television. They have no idea what they're getting themselves
they're
into.
They're in a world of hurt.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Like, he's kind of like Mario Lopez. We had him. He was great.
Right? He was safe.
He's kind of like look at him. He's like a bootleg Mario Lopez. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So
they're in
no boner talk. They won't allow that.
Yeah. I look.
Like now, anyone would notice.
Now what you have to do is forgo the briefs. Just go commando
there
and then just rock every episode. Just chub up as much as you can.
You know,
just make ABC nuts. Just make them cut away from your junk every episode.
I honestly would follow that advice.
I would pop like three Viagras before I went out dancing if I were you.
I would do that if I was like you, Ralph. But
it
unfortunately,
seems like Disney would have snipers in place just to take out your boner. Yeah. Like they're that good.
The boner snipers, by the way. That would have to be
the highest precision shot in the world to hit my penis.
So I'm saying you don't have anything to worry about in that realm. One pair underwear, you're fine.
All right. Yeah, you're all good. I'm good.
And we apologize to you guys. Should have checked, done a background check before you picked him.
Yeah.
Too late now.
ABC's in a world of hurt.
I'm just saying you should have checked. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Anna Faris, the star of Take Me Home. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we are proud to welcome to the air Anna Faris, who is the star of Take Me Home tonight. Hi, Anna.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I love that song.
Yes, as do we. We've played it 1 million times.
You're like, oh,
we've heard it. Yeah, we're good. We're over it.
We're good, but it's a good song. We're just ready to move on to the new Foo Fighters.
Anna, I got to tell you, whenever I see there's a new Anna Faris movie in the offing, I always get excited because you are one of those performers that I find no matter what kind of project you're in, you always deliver, and it's always fun to see you on the screen.
Thank you very much. That is really, really generous of you.
Without being insulting, there are some actors and actresses that are great, whether they're in a good movie or not, I think is what he's saying. But you,
I think I said it nicer.
You
quite
said
frankly.
It better.
Yes, I think I did.
Did I make it worse?
No, you did. You made it much worse.
I'm sorry, Anna.
But Take Me Home tonight.
No.
Looks like there's no worries with this one. It looks like a great movie. It looks like everything that people loved about the '80s: sex and drugs. And Rick Springfield and
the Go-Go's.
Definitely.
Oh, Charlie Sheen is going to love this movie. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure he'll be first in line.
Now, tell us about your character and what you do in the movie.
My character's name is Wendy, and I play Topher's twin.
Topher Grace.
Yeah, Topher's great. Topher Grace, he's our lead, and it's kind of a more grounded character for me. She's really funny, but it's more, she's a little wittier, I guess. She's less idiotic than most characters I play.
It does seem from the trailers and from what I've seen, the clips from the movie, that you, of the two of you, the brother and sister, you seem to have a better grip on what you want out of life and where you're going than your brother Topher does.
A little bit. You know, I think that my character's a little bossier than Topher, but I think, you know, she's stuck in this relationship with her boyfriend, and he's a kind of a jerk, but I don't think she quite knows how to move on from him. And I think it's about, you know, most of us have been there.
Sure.
Like, in a relationship where everyone around you hates your significant other, your boyfriend or your girlfriend, but you find yourself defensive of them until you one day realize, like, oh, man, that person is awful.
Yeah, and then you go, hey, why didn't any of my friends tell me? And they go, we did.
Exactly.
We told you a lot.
But anyway, the guy who plays my jerky boyfriend ended up becoming my husband.
Oh, right.
I don't know what that says.
Now, we have a scene where you're describing to, and I'm not exactly sure who it is. Is it Topher, maybe, or your boyfriend? You're describing that you're going to go to school at Oxford.
That's my boyfriend.
Okay,
yeah.
Your boyfriend. All right, here's the clip that we have.
This is a big step, but I think it's the right thing.
Hell yes. It doesn't exactly take a rocket surgeon to figure that out.
Kyle, I have to tell you something.
Please tell me you missed your period.
No, I applied to grad school.
Wow, grad school. Where?
Cambridge.
Is that in the valley?
England.
Is that in the valley? England.
Anna, the movie takes place in the 80s, and I gotta say, the vibe I get from the film is that it has the same kind of tone as a lot of those coming-of-age comedies in the 80s actually had. Was that a conscious decision on the part of you guys?
Yeah, we didn't want to spoof the 80s.
Right.
And we wanted to make a story that could have been set during any time, but because I think it was important to Topher and to all of us that we create not only a really, really funny movie, but also a movie that you can emotionally invest yourself in. So yeah, I think it's has a lot of heart, which is someone who's very experienced in spoof movies.
Yeah, that's right.
Really appreciate.
Yeah, it strikes me as the kind of film that the late John Hughes would have made. You know, that kind of thing. A lot of heart and a lot of laughs.
I know Topher is a huge fan, and I am as well. So that was he was definitely someone we were thinking about during the making of this movie.
Well, this looks great. It stars Topher Grace. It stars Anna Faris. It is called Take Me Home Tonight, and it is in theaters this Friday. Anna, it's always great to have you on the show. Thank you for coming.
I always appreciate it. Thank you guys
Thanks.
So much.
Bye bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Don't forget the World Tour 2011 is happening. Destination number 6 is Metallica in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Your chance to win tickets to the Big Four coming up. Go to krock.com for all the details at 7:55.
Listen.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's microphone has been broken.
This show
all
makes a lot of money for a lot of people. Not us. But there is a corporation somewhere that's making a lot of money off of this show.
Right.
The least I expect is for this not to happen.
For the mic not to fall?
For the microphone not to fall off the stand. It's just, I understand, look, we're always asking them for better chairs, for stuff maybe isn't necessary to actually do the job, but the microphone is the one thing you really kind of do need to do the job. That's all I'm saying.
It did
can
take
we,
us...
Can we get this fixed?
Probably
can this,
not.
Can this
it
be
did,
handled?
Grab that other one.
All right.
I think that would work.
Right. I'm just going to let this
It
one
did
dangle.
Take us about 6 months to get the chairs fixed. We literally had chairs in the studio that you couldn't sit on. And now the door is not opening or shutting. So that's good. We got that working out for
there
us.
There are revolutionaries in Tripoli who have better equipment than we have here right now. That's all I'm saying.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Battle L.A. This looks like a great film. Aaron Eckhart stars as a Marine Staff Sergeant leading his platoon in a battle against aliens. And there are certain genres of films that I'm just a sucker for. And one is the invading hordes of outer space coming to make us manslaves and us battling against them.
I love that, and I love nonstop action, so I'm in on both counts.
And this looks like it's shot in a very sort of realistic way. I did the panel for this. There you go. That looks good.
Nice work, Mike.
Mike's working on it as we speak. I did the panel for this at Comic-Con last year, and I got a chance to see a bunch of footage, and it's shot in a very realistic, handheld, almost documentary way. They've taken a lot of their stylistic points off of actual footage from Iraq and that kind of stuff.
Oh, really?
With the actual battles. So it's very compelling.
Is it going to make us sick? Is it that kind of?
There is some shaky handheld kind of stuff going on, but it didn't bother me when I saw
Excellent.
The stuff. So if you'd like to go, I got a pair of passes right now to give away to the first caller at 1-800-520-1067. Call now if you'd like to attend the red carpet world premiere of Battle L.A., and if you miss it, don't worry, because it's in theaters everywhere on March the 11th. You can check it out. Christina Aguilera doing her best to grab a little spotlight in this, the era of Charlie Sheen. She got arrested with her boyfriend this morning in West Hollywood.
Bring it.
She was popped for public intoxication. Her boyfriend was arrested for driving under the influence. By all accounts, Christina has been quite the hot mess since she announced her divorce, pending, from her husband, Jordan Bratman. So it looks like she's
the Super Bowl, who knew that was just one of many problems in her life?
Yeah. I knew she was in trouble when she showed up at Jeremy Renner's birthday party uninvited and fell asleep in his bed.
It's like Goldilocks.
Who's this? Why is this person in my home? First of all, I'm now asleep in my bed.
Fat Goldilocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vanilla Snooki, as I like to call her. So that's bad news. I hope Christina pulls her act together. But really, we can't be bothered because we're too busy waiting for Charlie Sheen's next press conference.
There's a new sheriff in town.
He was on Today's Show yesterday.
Yeah.
A bunch of radio prior to that. Did a live TMZ streaming video interview. And then later on in the day, after we left work, he was on Piers Morgan that night on CNN.
Yeah.
There is hardly a news outlet he has not appeared on yet. Each one just being crazier than the next.
Although I will say, I heard him yesterday use the word apologize.
Well, I wonder if now he's starting to sweat it a little bit.
Yeah,
he's worrying that, hey, I might really be out of a job here. Maybe I'm not the rock star I thought I was. Maybe I need to tone it down a bit in order to keep my job.
But he didn't seem like he had that awareness at all, you know, for a long time. Yeah. He didn't really, like, come out and say it was all his fault. It's all CBS's fault still. But he said, to my fans, I apologize if, you know, that kind of a of a backdoor apology where it's not really an apology.
Yeah. In a related story, rumors are persisting that CBS CEO Les Moonves was chatting with John Stamos the other day, talking about him to possibly replace Charlie Sheen in Two and a Half Men.
The first one's free, the next one goes in your mouth.
Stamos, I think, would be a great choice. Likeable, had a long-running, successful sitcom, attractive.
He's a ladies' man.
Charlie said in response to those rumors, it would be a tragic joke if that were to happen.
A tragic joke?
And that the series would absolutely fail if John Stamos took over. Stamos, by the way, is denying those rumors. Tweeted on Friday, contrary to the rumors, I am not replacing Charlie Sheen on Two and a Half Men. However, Martin Sheen has asked me to be his son. So,
He didn't really say that.
He really said that.
He really said that?
Stamos awesome. Is a funny guy.
That's way funny.
Yeah, he's a very clever dude. Katherine Heigl and Sofia Vergara are working together on a new movie. Who wins there? By the way.
Sophia.
Yeah. Does Katherine Heigl even show up on film when Sophia Vergara is standing next to her?
Anyone does.
Just the Snaggletooth.
Katherine Heigl, by the way, has a bad reputation for sort of being a diva.
Right.
Star Magazine claims that Sophia, while on the set, finally got an ass full of Katherine Heigl complaining about how cold it was while they were shooting the movie.
You don't want to make Sophia Vergara angry.
No, you don't. According to witnesses, Sophia told her, just be thankful that she has a gig and to stop whining.
Nice.
All right. I love Sophia Vergara more than I did before.
Yeah.
God bless her. And another one of my favorites, Poppy Montgomery. I don't know if you ever watched that show Without a Trace, but she was one of the stars of that. She left that show and apparently is looking to head up the cast of a new CBS drama. Deadline.com reports she'll play a female police detective. No surprise there. But she has perfect memory. She has the ability to remember everything.
Sort of like me.
Just like you, Kevin. It comes in handy in her work life, but not so much in her personal life, which I could imagine would be problematic.
Remember 7 years ago when you said...
Imagine everything everyone said about you.
No, you'd make
the people around you crazy. And more casting news. Josh Brolin apparently is talking about working with Tim Burton in an updated big screen production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. That would be an interesting film.
And I think Brolin, anything Tim Burton does, too.
And I think Brolin would be great. But interesting premise to bring that production back. So we'll have to see what happens. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Roger Daltrey of The Who, 67 years old today. Actor Alan Thicke turns 64. Ron Howard, director, writer, actor. He is 57 years old. Javier Bardem celebrates his 42nd birthday. Mark Paul Gosselaar, my buddy from NYPD Blue, celebrates his 37th birthday. Jensen Ackles is 33. Reggie Bush of the Saints is 26 years old today. Key dollar sign Ha. Singer Kesha is 24 years old. And Justin Bieber celebrates his 17th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, what does this make you think of?
It makes me nervous.
Yes.
This show makes me so nervous. Southland.
Do you think you're going to get busted for something?
Or? No, it is...
Guilty?
It's the best drama on television, in my opinion. And I know every episode, I have no idea what's going to happen.
Odds are
something horrible is going to happen. And I'm going to be moved and affected by it by the end of the hour of television. And that happens so rarely on television, yet it's very unsettling.
Since Friends has gone off, really.
It is an ominous theme song for an ominous, ominous television program. And no one is more ominous than Michael Cudlitz, who plays John Cooper on the show. And he's in the studio with us today. That show that you're on has to be an actor's dream, for you especially.
Yes.
John Cooper
can you expound?
John Cooper is one of the best written roles on television right now.
No, it's been an amazing experience for everybody involved in the cast. You know, you rarely get opportunities like this. John Wells, Chris Chulak, you know, and the opportunity that TNT has afforded us to do the show that we always intended to do. It's been an amazing ride.
For those who don't know, it started on NBC. Mm-hmm. It was sort of given the short shrift over there. And then when they did that switch, they put Leno on 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
You guys were left out in the cold. And TNT was smart enough to pick you guys up. And I think the show's better on TNT than it was on the network.
Absolutely. You know, like I said, we have an opportunity now to not sort of, you know, network television has to sort of cater to a much larger, you know, general audience. And TNT can let us really, you know, focus on what we wanted to do from
the beginning.
You
can make it a little grittier. You can make it a little more
exactly.
honest.
Punches, exactly. And people who are watching the show are watching the show because they want to, not because they're finding it by accident.
The cast that of the show is remarkable. Sean Hattusey is having an amazing season.
Fantastic.
Dealing with what he had to deal with. But your role in particular, I always find fascinating because the problems that John has, and he's got many.
Yeah. He's a complex character.
A couple. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are dealt with in such a non-sensationalistic way. They don't make big deals out of these issues he has on. It's just part of his character, and he goes through his day, and he does his job, and they drop little bits of it throughout the course of the story, but they never sort of, there's never a special episode, you know?
There's a very special Southland.
Right. I mean, John wakes up next to a guy in his bed mm-hmm. and gets up and goes to work, and the episode never focuses on the fact that he's closeted and he's dealing with some issues in his sexuality, and they don't make a big deal out of that. And I think that's one of the most adult shows on television in that way. It's remarkable how they handle it.
Awesome.
That's but at least he handled the pain well, and that's good.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the episodes started with you just getting out of the car and they're like, whoa, hey, what's happening here?
Well, wait, that gets a little worse.
It does.
That's not over yet.
My wife and I watch the show. It's one of the shows that we don't bother to TiVo. We have to watch it live every week because we're that the anticipation of seeing what happens that week is that strong. And we're watching it the other night, and she goes, it hurts to look at him.
Yeah.
Even when you're leaning against a car, she goes, it hurts to look at Cooper because you just can sense the pain he's in without him having to say anything. And that's, I think, a testament to what a good actor you are.
Thank you.
Do you have back pain?
I do sometimes after I finish the day's work.
I'm sure. Working on it and acting like you do.
Twisting your body like that must be painful.
And holding it in a certain way. Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of reaction do you get from real cops? Because it is about the Los Angeles Police Department, and you shoot it here in L.A. I'm assuming you live here.
Yeah.
When you run into the police, what is the reaction they give you?
I always answer this question the same way. 99% of the cops, 100% of the cops that come up to me love the show. I have to assume that there's some out there that don't, and they're not going to go out of their way to find me to tell me how much they don't like the
show. They will. They'll get to you.
Trust me.
We've had that experience.
No, but what we try to do is make the show as realistic as possible. We never say we're doing exactly, you know, what they would do. It's a TV show. We never do paperwork on the show. You know, right. A lot of things are changed so we can shoot it, you know. And,
right.
And the guys will tell you that, the thing that happened in the pilot, you know, we'd still be doing paperwork for that.
Right.
You know, it's like
right.
23 hours later.
But you leave out the boring part. But the thing that it focuses on so well is the people that are wearing the uniform.
Yeah.
I almost said costume. That would have been a big mistake.
Yes,
you know, and their real life problems. And it really focuses on that in a way that's kind of unique. I mean, you're doing a cop genre show. That's been done to death.
Yeah.
And yet you're doing it in a way that's really unique.
The problems are the same, you know, just like with a medical show. It's still someone's kidney or liver, brain or whatever. But the way the stories are being told are hopefully brand new. You know, the way in which it's shot, the use of the city, and the way that you get to meet these characters, which we always say is sort of how you would meet someone in real life. You things are unfolded to them. You don't you don't really know who someone is until you sort of go through a crisis with them, and then you know you sort of turn and go, oh, I didn't expect you to really handle it that way. You know, but you peel back the layers and you get to know them. And the minute you think you know them, they do something to surprise you.
But this is what everyone tries to do.
Yeah.
And most fail.
Yeah.
I think. You know what I mean? Like, that's the goal of all TV shows.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do.
Well, we're the little show that could at this point.
How are the ratings on TNT? I hope
they're strong. They're solid. They are not through the roof.
They should be through the roof.
All right. Well, get out there and watch the show.
How
many people have you brought to the show?
Good question.
Specifically.
A lot.
Well, 10, bring more.
20. Ralph brought me to it. He's Southland is the best cop show.
It is. We're doing, we're doing really well. Obviously, everybody wishes they had, more audience.
Right.
And we're definitely moving in that direction. So we're very excited and very optimistic about another season.
All right. Well, we need to take a break. Southland is on tonight. There's only two episodes left tonight at 10 o'clock on TNT. Two episodes, Ralph. What are you going to do in the third week? You're just going to...
There must be a way to watch the other episodes on Hulu or something, right? Can you find the...
TNT.TV.
TNT.TV. iTunes, TNT.TV. If you haven't seen the episodes, you need to go back and catch them all because, I'm telling you, it's one of the best dramas on television. It really is.
Yeah, and this is one of those great things where if you didn't know about it, it's great and you can go catch up on back catalog and watch stuff when there's nothing on, that's good.
Yeah.
So, Michael Cudlitz is in our studio. We're going to take a quick break. Southland again is tonight at 10 o'clock on TNT, and we'll be right back. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have Michael Cudlitz in the studio. He is the star of Southland.
One of the stars.
He is the star.
I know that, and you know that, but they may be listening.
You're afraid that Ben McKenzie's going to be upset?
Yeah,
he knows. He's in Mozambique. He won't hear you.
What up, Regina King? She might be listening.
She's sleeping.
She's sleeping.
I checked.
It is a great ensemble cast in the truest sense, where everybody has a storyline, has something to do. It really isn't like one person's a star with everyone else supporting. You get a lot of different viewpoints of an interesting profession from a lot of different areas, from the foot soldiers who are the street cops to the detectives, all the way up the food chain, you know?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that they did when they started the show. They wanted to make it as if, you know, there's not one cop, there's not one detective who's solving all the crimes in Los Angeles. The police force, you know, is huge. The city is huge. And they wanted that sort of that vastness, and to be able to tell those stories in a way where you're not limited to one or two characters. You can get different perspectives on the same crime.
I was saying off the air, I don't want to call 911 and have the cops show up, be bickering in the car like you two do. Like,
but if we show up, we're the guys who aren't showing up.
Yeah,
but you're bickering.
Yeah, but we got no paperwork.
Okay.
And sometimes they play outside the rules, which is what you want too.
A little bit.
No, I mean, it really is a weird thing, because you don't picture the police showing up to save the day, arguing with each other, having personal problems. That's
yeah. But the fact that we argue when we still fix everything in 42 minutes.
A lot going on. All right, I got you.
I'm down with that.
Admirable.
You know, this season we learned about Cooper that he seems to have a bit of a soft spot for kids.
Yeah.
There was that.
Very much so, yeah.
There was that kid they found in that abandoned apartment where his parents left, and just took a liking to you, an attachment to you immediately, and you had to put him into the system, into social services, and it kind of broke your heart. You could tell to leave that kid behind. And then later in the season, I think we've got a clip from an episode where you find a kid who has been living in some place he calls the Magic Cave, and
I rented that this past weekend.
The Magic Cave, yeah, it's very entertaining, but it's a different kind of cave. I think we're talking about here, and obviously under some suspicious circumstances, you dedicate yourself to trying to help this kid, and here's you going up against someone who works for social services.
I have a master's degree in child psychology,
and I got a PhD in street. Who gives you? Oh, 20 years. You know what? I don't care. That kid is telling the truth, and you're too lazy to do your job. Do your job.
Yeah. Language!
Wow. Is that necessary, Officer Cooper? Really?
It worked. So apparently it is.
It is amazing that for television, the language in this show is adult. Yeah. It, you know, it's
absolutely
real.
And the language always was, even when we were on NBC. One of the conceits of the show was that we would use the actual language and bleep it out. And the feeling was that subconsciously you feel, when you see something bleeped out, you feel like it was aired once before, somebody caught it, standards of practice,
right.
They bleeped it out and they're showing it again. So it gives almost an authenticity to the fact that you are actually feel like you're watching possibly documentary footage, which then sort of makes your mind feel like this is more real.
Look, we do this. We beep stuff, and it still makes me feel that way when I'm watching.
Yeah, more real?
Yeah, it just makes it feel authentic and like you're watching something that maybe you shouldn't be watching.
Exactly. And that is one of the things about the show, too, the way we tell our stories is from a sort of voyeuristic perspective.
Now, you do it. You have open sets, basically, out on the streets.
You shoot a location a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we're on location, unless it's a safety issue where it's, you know, some kind of stunt driving or a stunt guy falling or doing something like that, the sets are open. We put up signs that say basically if you're in this area, you basically be prepared to be filmed.
I've been on charity auctions before where you get a walk-on role. Here, you can just walk on.
You can just show up.
All right. That's awesome.
No, but this works for our show because when things are going down with the police, people stop and watch.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that people are walking up and watching you throw this guy to the ground and cuff him, because that's what they would do.
Do they get out their cell phone and start videotaping?
Yeah. People are taking pictures.
Ooh, I'm going to bust this wide open.
Exactly. If you want to watch, you know, if you want to watch tonight's episode, just go on YouTube. You can probably see half of it. It's already up.
So on that beautiful, beautiful cell phone video.
Exactly.
Think of the money they save on extras on this show, though.
Wow, that's amazing.
Free labor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who knew?
I always envisioned when they shot on the streets, you know, they would, you know, close off the street and they bring in the extras and the trucks and, the honey wagons and all that kind of stuff.
No, we try to make as small a footprint as possible. We do have a lot of background that works on the show that we can have control of, but, you know, a lot of the background that is on there are just people walking up and down Hollywood Boulevard. If we need control of something, we have control of it. And if you don't, you don't.
Well, that's a great way to shoot it. How did you get hooked up on a separate note with Call of Duty? How'd that come down?
Initially with the Band of Brothers guys. We were all, I think...
Band of Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, Call of Duty 2. About 7 or 8 of us from Band of Brothers were asked to participate as a group.
Did you know anything about it at the time?
No, not at all. No.
Are you a gamer at all? Do you play video games?
No.
No.
It's a great game.
Kevin is. Kevin loves your work in that.
I love your work. It's a great game.
My kids have told me, they said that they weren't really sure why they always used to feel anxious when they were playing Call of Duty 2. And then they realized that I had been screaming at them for the last 4 hours.
That would be a bummer. You're all excited about getting Call of Duty Black Ops and your dad's on it.
Exactly.
No, that's not right.
When you speak of screaming, when you spend all day on the set of Southland, which is an intense, sometimes relentlessly intense program, does it affect you personally at the end of the day? Are you wrung out emotionally? Are you exhausted? Are you one of those actors who can just say, all right, the gig's over, my job's done, I go home now, and
you know. You phone it in like us.
No. Well, one of you. Sorry.
He's not here. That's fine.
I'm so not coming back again next year.
Oh, no. You're back automatically.
Yeah, I mean, different days, different things. The Winds episode, which was the desert, episode 5. Yeah. That you know, we shot the stuff out in the desert and the stuff at the parole hearing all in the same day. So that's an emotionally draining day where you're emotionally exhausted and physically exhausted.
Dude, you were a dick to your dad.
I know.
Pretty much.
You were a dick.
Yeah.
No, his dad's not a sweetheart either.
Somebody.
Your dad's not a sweetheart. I agree.
He found God.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's the beauty of the show, is it really does show just stuff that you get a little uncomfortable with, but it's real.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I just hope for your sake you get a romantic comedy or something soon where you can just lighten up and just have a good time.
Are you afraid he's going to kill someone?
Something's going to go down. You can't live like that forever. Something's going to go down.
You think?
Look how intense he is, man.
We're talking to the actor now, Michael. Are you all right?
The next two episodes are some of the best we've produced. The season finale is by far the best episode we've produced.
All right, so the second to last is tonight, 10 o'clock TNT. We're telling you it's a great show, and we both watched it. We both say it. We're not getting paid to say it. It's fantastic.
And then next week is even better.
Yeah, I just say just watch the damn show. If you don't like it, don't watch it again.
All right, take it easy,
Michael. Way to sell.
All right. Take it easy.
That's it. You know, it's not, everyone comes on, my show, it's something different than I've, you know, just watch it.
Just watch it.
Well, if you like good TV, you will enjoy it.
What's with the attitude?
All right, relax.
Wow.
All right, you're not coming back.
He is John Cooper.
Let's get out.
Give him a pill. Someone give him a pill.
we need a Valium. Who has it? Psycho Mike?
Sure.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:39. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and as you know, the Charlie Sheen Show continues, and it's a bizarre ride. It is just almost impossible to keep up with.
Yeah.
All of the interviews that he does, he was on the Today Show yesterday. Apparently, they're going to play some more of it today. He's on 2020 tonight. He was on TMZ for, I don't know, 20 minutes yesterday live. And we have Mike. Are you there?
Yeah. What's up, guys?
Mike is the guy from TMZ that was over at Charlie Sheen's house. Now, Mike,
yes.
How'd that go?
Well, I think that you have to sort of be in Charlie Sheen's world to understand the answers to the questions in an interview.
Help us understand that.
Well, because, you know, you got to be in that backyard and in that house to understand how Charlie Sheen feels and what he's talking about. So I spent 4 hours there yesterday, and I got to tell you.
Four hours?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was hanging and banging at Charlie Sheen's house. And let me tell you, Charlie Sheen's house is like a scene from Boogie Nights. I don't know if you guys see, like, where there's, like, the black friend with the baseball bat, the Asian kid that's just sitting on a chair not talking.
Yeah. You kept panning around to those guys. I was like, yeah, there's a random Asian guy who doesn't talk. There's a black guy that's swinging a bat. I don't know what that's about.
Dude, I'm telling you. But, to be honest, it's controlled chaos. And Charlie Sheen is the most articulate, well thought out, and sober person that I've been around.
Okay.
I guarantee when I tell you that he was 100% sober.
I don't doubt that he's 100%
sober. Yeah,
I don't doubt that he's sober. But that to me means he's crazy. Then you know what I mean? Like all of this stuff where he talks about how he's, you know, on a spaceship, and he's just going crazy with all of the stuff that he's saying. He's the best person ever, and people don't understand me because I'm on a whole nother level. That to me means he's either under the influence or crazy.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, yes, I agree with you that that's a way to look at it, but you got to also understand Charlie Sheen does have a little bit of a warped sense of reality, whether it's good or bad. We don't live the life he lives. And, you know, think about it. Like, your listeners get it. Okay, here's the deal. How do you debate a guy who says, I do a bunch of dope. I mean, that's not the greatest thing, but I drink. I have two hot porn stars. I jet set to the Bahamas when I feel like it. I've got a huge house in Beverly Hills, 5 Mercedes Mercedes-Benz, you know, and I'm still here sitting talking to you and I can get the words out of my mouth. So
yeah.
How bad is this lifestyle? Like, when he feels like doing something, he does it, and he's got enough money to shut down the whole street, you know, in Mahoney Estates where he lives. Like, you know, it's hard to debate it. I even tried and, like, found myself going, yeah, I don't want to be, like, weird, but I would kind of love to live a little bit of your life. It's hard to argue with him on that.
Look, I don't doubt, and I probably, everybody goes, hey, I'd like to live that way for a little bit. I'd like to have all that money.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have all that freedom. I'd like to have a plane. I'd like to be able to go to the Bahamas whenever I want. Listen, that's everybody's dream. But you can also see a guy kind of unraveling, and you sort of feel like, I don't want that part of it.
No, exactly. And I did sort of get the sense that, you know, he knew that some of the stuff he did was bad and that he ended up in a really bad place. Like, how about the hospital twice in 2 months? But, you know, it's weird. He has the sense of, and I really...
But when you asked him about the hospital, for example, you said, when was the last time you used, I don't have any idea. You went to the hospital a couple of weeks ago. Yes, it was for, what did he say it was for? Hernia.
Well, you know, I mean, he says that that's what it was for. Now, did he do cocaine for 36 hours straight and drink 73 bottles of red wine with five people in 3 days? Yes. But he ended up in the hospital for a hiatal hernia. 100% true story. Whether it was brought on by drug use and alcohol abuse for three straight days, probably. But they did treat him for a hiatal hernia that had gotten inflamed, and he went home. And that's his mind. That's how he sees it.
So he... Wow. So,
well, that's the thing. It's exactly what you just did, I did. I went, wow. Like, after being there for 4 hours thinking,
Look, I wasn't trying to have this phone call to pick on you for not attacking him enough. The only thing that I thought was a little weak was when you were talking about how well he swings a bat. That was a little gay.
Dude, you know what? My first hour I was there,
all right,
I was
Mike.
Waiting.
Okay, he swings a bat. Take it easy.
No, listen.
That's what I was saying.
I was there. They showed me video. He was waiting, and he was like, dude, you got to see this video of me. And so on his computer, he's got video of himself hitting, like, batting practice with Eddie Murray and all these, like, famous legendary baseball players. The guy can swing a bat. Like, I'm not telling
right.
you that. He hits bombs, like, and then, you know,
right.
I play baseball. It's not that easy to hit baseballs like he does.
Right.
He has a video of himself doing it.
Okay, but you dwelled on it a little long is all I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
He can hit him.
It was a moment.
Let me tell you, this guy can swing a bat.
Hey Mike.
You know.
Mike, in all honesty, I'm sorry to interrupt, Mike, but in all honesty, you know, you've spent enough time with the guy. Do you get the sense that... It's undebatable that his lifestyle embodies something that is glamorous from a material aspect. But do you think that his braggadocious nature about all the things that he has and being with porn stars all the time and calling them goddesses and stuff, do you believe that he buys into that and that he's happy with it, or if that's just lip service and behind it all he is actually unhappy?
No, I think that's the issue that everyone's having with him, is he absolutely buys into it. He loves his life. He loves the goddesses. He loves the fact that he lives like that. And that's why it's hard to argue with him, because he will explain to you until he's blue in the face how great his lifestyle is. And you're just bitter because you're one of those people that wants to be like that.
Yeah.
Do we want all of it? No, because some of it's bad and some of it's unhealthy. But do you want 80% of it?
I wouldn't mind trying it.
Well, that's the thing.
You know, I mean,
there for 4 hours, right. You kind of get caught up in it.
But
and
Charlie,
you're like,
Charlie Sheen's a
did
grown
you do
man.
Drugs at Charlie Sheen's house? Let's get that out of the way.
I'm telling you, dude.
Did you do drugs?
Look,
answer the question.
Sorry, there was no paraphernalia okay. at the house at all. There was zero drugs.
Did you do drugs at Charlie Sheen's house? This is getting interesting
yeah.
now because you won't
no
deny
comment.
It.
No comment. No, I'm kidding. No, I did zero
okay.
drugs at Charlie Sheen's house.
Okay.
Neither did he.
Did you put Babe Ruth's 1927 World Series ring on your wiener? Because I would have.
Guys, no comment. No.
What are your impressions about him? You know, we were talking just for a minute if he's really happy or if he really buys into it. My parents always taught me the people who mouth off about how great their life is are the most desperate.
They're compensating.
They're the most desperate. They're the most unhappy. They're insecure. Charlie Sheen is the king of insecurity. In my parents' view, and I don't know if that's true or not, but in their view, he's mouthing off about how great his life is. He must really not be happy.
Yeah,
what's your take on that?
That's a good point. I think the way I feel about it after hanging out with him for that long is that he's just really wound up inside. I think he's been wanting to say some of this stuff for a long time, and he actually finally was able to let loose and say all the things he wants to say. And when he started talking about it, all he was getting was backlash about his lifestyle, and
right.
they were using his lifestyle against him to shut down the TV show he's on, and it's his personal life, and he's saying, look, this is my life the way I want to live. It's none of your guys' business, and I don't really care how you guys feel about it.
Right.
So stop judging me and just let me live my life, and you guys do whatever you do. And yes, he uses a couple, you know, colorful terms about the way we all live.
Sure.
You know, because we're losers.
We're losers, yeah. He's a winner.
But it's his life, and he doesn't care how we feel about it, and you got to, you know.
Then why is he talking to every outlet known to God or man? That makes no sense.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't know the answer to that question. I think, like I said, I feel like he's been wound up, and he wants to tell everybody all in a couple days, mm-hmm. here's everything about what I wanted to say for the last 8 years that I've been wound up with this TV show and I have problems on the set. I want to tell you all, and then I'm going to move on.
I can see that. He did have his PR guy quit yesterday.
Oh, can you imagine being his PR guy?
No. Like, he's where now? Who's with who now? What show's he on? That would be a nightmare. So he quit yesterday.
Did you hear what I asked him? I said, by the way, where do you come up with these statements about, like, oh, it was mixing medication is why I was hospitalized? And he goes, well, I was actually blacked out when that statement came out.
I had nothing to do with it, he said.
Yeah, right then I'm like, your PR guy's going to quit.
Yeah, and he did.
And he
quit yesterday.
He actually was texting him, I'm quitting, as I was sitting there.
Oh, that's funny. All right, well, listen, we're out of time, but I just want one last question, and that is, it really seems like Charlie Sheen believes that CBS is 100% in the wrong. They canceled the show. They're, quote, stealing his life by taking his money away, and they owe him a big apology. Do you get the idea that he really believes that he had nothing to do with it?
I don't think he believes he has nothing to do with it, but I definitely think he feels they are 100% responsible because there's a moralities clause in a lot of our contracts, even like me and you guys,
everyone
horrible to the business and K-Rock suffers and whatever, then it's a problem. But in his, there is zero, and he's saying, look, the bottom line is this is my personal life, and you guys shut down 8 episodes, which he makes $2 million an episode, and you owe me the money because you shut it down. I didn't. I showed up on time. I was there, healthy, sober.
He said there were no scripts.
It was your fault, yeah, because Chuck Lorre didn't write the scripts, and CBS and Warner Brothers were not ready to do it. It's impossible to know,
but it's hard to believe that that's the case.
He blames it on them, and you know what? He's already fired off a legal letter from his attorney saying, you better pay me or else. Wow. That's how it ended.
His attorney that's probably going to quit today?
Yeah.
He's going to have to hand it off to somebody else. I wouldn't want to be his lawyer either. All right, Mike, you're the best. Thank you for coming on today. We appreciate it. You have the video of the entire thing up at TMZ, I imagine?
Yep. Check it out on the website.
TMZ.com. Thanks a lot.
All right, guys.
Tell Harvey thanks, buddy. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:58. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to news, I want to give away some more passes to the world premiere of Battle L.A. Happening Tuesday, March the 8th. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, March the 11th, if you don't get in. But the first caller right now at 1-800-520-1067. Gets a chance to see the red carpet world premiere of Battle L.A. with the stars Aaron Eckhart, Michelle Rodriguez. See the Marines take on the aliens. I'm betting on the Marines. Semper Fi. Hoorah!
I've seen the aliens. They got better guns.
Whatever. We're Americans, damn it. We've got right on our side. We've got God on our side, damn it. Love it or leave it, Kevin. To my country. Love it or leave it.
I'm just saying they look pretty formidable.
Well, it's very rare that we get one of our own in the midst of one of the hottest showbiz stories of the year, but here we sit. Dancing with the Stars announced their cast last night. Here's your lineup. Kirstie Alley, star of Cheers, star of Kentucky Fried Chicken also.
Sure.
And Arby's. And Dairy Queen.
McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Ralph Macchio. Ralph, don't call me Karate Kid Macchio.
Oh, no.
Sugar Ray Leonard, former professional boxer. Maybe one of the best.
Yeah, I think so.
Even the best I've ever watched. I mean, certainly one of the most entertaining boxers. Chris Jericho from the WWE. Hines Ward. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver Hines Ward.
And I recognize all of them so far.
Loser! Kendra Wilkinson from Hef's Mansion. He was one of her girlfriends. She was one of his girlfriends, rather, for a long time up there with Playboy. Wendy Williams, talk show host. Petra Nemkova.
Wow.
Swimsuit model.
All right.
Romeo, formerly Lil Romeo. Now he's Big Romeo, son of Master P.
All right, I've heard all of these.
Disney star Chelsea Kane. You know Chelsea Kane.
I'm not sure I do.
I don't know where she's from. She's on the Disney Channel someplace.
She's Horatio's daughter on CSI Miami, I believe.
You're joking?
Nuts. She's making something up.
She's on Wizards of Waverly Place.
Wizards of Waverly Place. Wizard Sleeves of Waverly Place.
That's not the name of it.
Yeah, Wizards.
That isn't the name of it. That's a
different
thing.
Our very own Mike Catherwood, Psycho Mike, is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Are you still talking about the Dancing with the Stars story?
Dancing with the Stars in quotes. I wonder how Mike feels about Mike being on Dancing with the Stars. This is an opportunity for Mike to talk about Mike, which he rarely gets a chance to do, and yet it's his favorite subject.
It is.
Here he is talking to Access Hollywood.
This might be, and I mean this, this might be the best-looking overall cast. But when it comes to just pure sex appeal, this cast has got it.
And by this cast, you mean...
You mean you.
No, I mean literally think about it, man.
You think about it.
You think about it.
First there's you.
A ding.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there's you.
Romeo, beautiful man. Petra Nemkova, Kendra, Heinz Ward, beautiful man. Jericho, amazing.
Okay, now
handsome.
You're going. Now here comes the bell curve. Here comes the other side of the bell curve.
Now,
Kirstie
Alley,
Wendy Williams.
Now you wait a second.
All
right, throw Williams right out of the game.
No, you can't throw her out. She's on the bell curve.
But Kirstie Alley, size aside, is a beautiful woman.
I'm sorry, what happened?
She's a pretty girl. Right, she's
up.
A larger.
Back
listen to Mike. Defending
back away
the fat girl,
from the
by
microphone.
The way. When does that ever happen? Boy, you have swallowed the Dancing with the Stars Kool-Aid, haven't you? Oh, no, she's beautiful. She's a large-sized woman, but she's gorgeous. She's a gorgeous plus-sized woman.
Lisa, I'm saying, she's a pretty girl.
Lisa, yes, she is. But have you ever heard Mike ever defend a woman over 120 pounds
yes,
in
I
your
have.
Life?
There
yes,
I have.
Look at the woman defend me.
Wow. This is a sad day right here, this moment.
You are already changed. First, this you changed when you became rich Mike over poor Mike.
That's right.
And now you're going to be Dancing with the Stars Mike. It's going to be a whole different breed of cat.
And we're going to have to start dealing with his people now.
I resent the fact that you say that I've changed.
You
I'm still
dismissed.
The same person. And I would just like to take this opportunity to say that everything Disney does is great, and I support them fully.
I thought that's what I smelled. By the way, Mike was asked any special dance moves he's going to be featuring this year. He's going to focus on a region of his body, apparently.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I really don't have any cards up my sleeve when it comes to dance moves, but I figure that we want to highlight the area of desire, the fiery cauldron of desire that is the pelvis region.
Keep it away from me. Just a little bit.
Oh, sorry. I get that a lot.
How many people here have said that?
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Keep away your cauldron of desire.
That's a hot chick, by the way, that brought from Access Hollywood.
We don't take your word on chicks after Kirstie Alley.
I was.
Is she beautiful like Kirstie Alley is?
Just back off, dude.
I was pasting it towards her like I was the masseuse, Kevin. You know what I'm saying? A little wrestler's bridge action.
Yeah, like you're doing to Kevin right now.
Get away from me. I don't want you touching me.
I was trying to show you. I'm miming it for you.
Back off. It's happening.
Let's take a look at celebrity birthdays. Justin Bieber's 17 years old today.
That's what's happening.
Singer Kesha celebrates her 24th birthday. NFL running back Reggie Bush. He's 26 years old today. They handed him a cake. He fumbled it and fell down.
Is that right?
Yeah. Jensen Ackles of Supernatural is 33. Mark Paul Gosselaar, my buddy from NYPD Blue, celebrates his 37th birthday. Javier Bardem is 42, friendo. Ron Howard is 57. Alan Thicke.
Yeah.
You know he got that name, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
From his parents. He's 64 years old today. Roger Daltrey of The Who celebrates his 67th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Just before we take a look at the showbiz, Lightning, our web guy, called and said,
"Hey, you got to talk about that. Travis Barker's song is on the website. Travis Barker's song."
He's like, "Yeah, I've heard a couple.
No, it's a new Travis Barker. Tim Armstrong, Slash."
And then he said words that I never thought I'd hear out of him, which is Spanish style of guitar noodling.
Oh, yes.
That got my interest.
Nothing better than a big bowl of steaming Spanish noodles.
Every night.
Different sound, but it's Tim Armstrong. He's the lead singer, and Slash is doing some Spanish style.
I want to hear the noodling.
Guitar noodling. Is that considered noodling? Anyway, KevinandBean.com if you'd like to listen to that entire song. It's the only place you can stream it.
Very Santana-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
Santana?
It's noodling. That's noodling.
It's a noodling?
That's what we heard.
Yeah.
So, KevinandBean.com.
If it's Spanish, you should be paella-ing.
I'm not that. I don't know. Habla.
Paella. You've had paella?
Probably.
Oh, it's good. Paella. Love that paella. Before I get to the showbiz news, I want to give away some more passes to the very special red carpet world premiere of a film I've been looking forward to for months. Battle Los Angeles. Battle LA, it's called. Stars Aaron Eckhart, Michelle Rodriguez, We're having Aaron on this week to talk about the film, aren't we?
I believe on
Friday,
the day it comes
maybe?
Out.
Friday?
Which is a week from Friday.
A week from Friday.
Yeah.
Ramon Rodriguez, Bridget Moynihan, Neo, Michael Pena. Great, great cast. It's about UFOs. It's about the forces from above finally attacking those of us here on planet Earth and how the Marines battle them here in our very own city of
they
Los
Angeles.
They
don't love us?
Turns out they don't. Looks like they're looking to take over. But the Marines have something to say about that.
Do they say enough?
They say, nuh-uh.
Not on our watch?
Not on our watch. I've got a pair of passes if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere of this film. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you don't win, don't feel bad because it's in theaters everywhere March 11th and you can catch it then. Christina Aguilera is continuing her quest to become the world's most famous Snooki impersonator.
Oops, I'm sorry. That was Christina Aguilera?
Yes.
No, I take that back.
Yeah. Sorry. She was arrested this morning along with her boyfriend in West Hollywood on DUI-related charges. This rarely happens when the driver of a vehicle who is impaired gets pulled in, and the passenger is so hammered, so effed up, that they also charge the passenger with public intoxication.
I've never heard of that.
That's what happened this morning. It happens when the passenger is, as it says here in the sheriff's report, severely intoxicated, where they're so drunk that they are not functional.
So I guess if they find you anywhere like that,
yeah,
they'll...
then you are publicly intoxicated. And so she had to be brought into the sheriff's station. The sheriff say they are holding her until she sobers up or someone can pick her up. And I don't know if you've seen her lately. It's going to take a couple people if they want to pick her up.
Better chance of sobering up?
That's right. It's been a brutal 6 months for Christina.
It has been a spiral.
But no one's really caring because Charlie Sheen's on every TV show imaginable.
Winning.
So it's the perfect time for her to make a spectacle of herself. Because no one's really going to pay attention
unless
Charlie's still spinning out of control.
Unless she wants attention, then it's a horrible time to pick.
That's true.
She has to wait for
what
Charlie
does a girl
to die
have
down.
To do?
Right.
She's going to have to set herself on fire, I guess. Something bigger than just public intoxication.
Bring it.
Charlie's the man.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Yes. He's Sheriff Loco. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers is doing what they can to take care of the crew of Two and a Half Men. Of course, the season has been canceled. But Warner says they are going to pick up the tab for the 200 people or so who work on that show who are missing out on their salaries because they're not producing the episodes. It's going to cost them about $2 million in change, but they will get paid for the final four shows of the season that they're missing out on.
So. Now, help me out with that because Charlie said 8 episodes.
Well, I think the 4-episode hiatus that they were going on.
Uh-huh.
No one was going to get paid for that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But then they canceled the rest of the season. They had another 4 episodes after that hiatus they imposed on Charlie to do that they were planning on doing once he got sober and returned to work.
Well, that seems pretty cool of them to pay it.
Yeah, I think so.
And they don't have to, right?
Yeah, but it's the right thing to do.
I agree, but
they
that
recognize
doesn't...
that. So, that's good news for them. Still no word yet, of course, what's going to happen with that series in general. I just feel for John Cryer. That's the only person in this whole mess I really have sympathy for. Is I just feel bad for Ducky sitting in his home.
My wife said she saw an interview with him where he checked TMZ every day to know before he was going into work if he needed to go into work.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
Oh, Ducky.
That would suck.
Oh, Ducky.
And what about
you.
The half a man? What about him?
What about little Angus?
What about that guy?
What about little Angus Burger or whatever his name is?
I don't know what his name is.
I don't either, but... yeah, it's got to be tough for those guys. I hope for their sake that the production goes on. Lady Gaga, one of the most popular performers in America, but not with everyone. You guys remember Charo?
Yeah!
Charo was a fixture on television during the 70s and 80s. She was, speaking of Spanish guitar noodling, she was a flamenco guitarist who also became famous as sort of a wacky character. She would say, coochie coochie all the time. She had a very thick Spanish accent. And
did she used to have those super long fingernails or something?
Because she was a flamenco guitar player. She still is. She rips at guitar. I mean, she
really?
I know it sounds crazy.
I mean, I thought she was like cartoonish.
Charo. Her personality is, but she is one of the preeminent flamenco guitarists in the world.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
All right.
So she was interviewed by the New York Daily News and asked about some current performers, including Lady Gaga, and she is no fan. She said, Lady Gaga, and I quote, Madonna with diarrhea. I don't even know what that means or how she has that much personal information about that.
Thank you.